I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Umbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. The Steelers snagged the final NFL playoff spot as the regular season wrapped up last night in the Steel City. Baltimore's Tyler Loop missed a 44-yard field goal as time expired to give the Steelers a 26-24 win over the Ravens. Pittsburgh wins the AFC North and is the 4 seed. They'll host the Texans next Monday in the AFC wildcard round. In other news, the Browns have fired Kevin Stefanski after 7 seasons. The Falcons fired head coach Raheem Morris and GM Terry Fontenot yesterday. As of right now, the Giants, Titans, Browns, and Falcons are the head coaching vacancies in the NFL. In college football, 17 Buckeyes hit the transfer portal. Excuse me. Lincoln Keenholz committed to Louisville over the weekend. Winter windows open through Friday, January 16th. And the basketball Buckeyes host Nebraska tonight at 6:30. Hear from OSU's head coach today at noon on the Jake Diebler Show. This update is sponsored by Eco Plumbers. Get $500 in free plumbing services when you buy a new water heater. Visit GetEco.com and book today.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Tom Tabari here.
Oh, Reese came in and he's handed me papers.
Yeah.
And then, he said, "You see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me." Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a Reaction Monday edition of the program. Both the boys with you for the next 3. Austin Ward going to drop by at 10:30. Lots to get to. The portal is certainly popping. Some of it positive, most of it negative so far for Ohio State. We'll get into that as the program goes along. Nate Davis, USA Today on the NFL. The weekend that was, the playoffs are set. The coaching hires and fires that are already happening. And if you heard the Handsome Update anchor there, you know that one has just happened here in the last couple of minutes. The Browns have relieved Kevin Stefanski of his duties. Andrew Berry will stay on as the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, and he will spearhead the coaching search. The machinations and the path that takes is going to be pretty fascinating. Obviously, those two guys were hired together and have worked very closely together through the last 6 seasons. So how that plays out is going to be very fascinating. But Kevin Stefanski has been relieved of duties up in Cleveland. We will have more on that as the program goes along. I did want to start here, though. Do you recall, Reese, you'll certainly recall this. This would have been summer 24, July 24, when the NCAA video game first came back and we got our hands on it for the first time. And we had it here at the house, and the boys played seasons, and I played a dynasty season with Ohio State, and we played through. And one thing that was consistently happening with that is there were teams that you would not expect to see in the college football playoff in it. And we had this running bit in the football season of that year in 2024. One of them was NC State. We kept, like, NC State kept being a team that for some reason the computer really liked. And oftentimes they'd like Miami too. And because of Cam Ward, they would have a remarkable season at Miami. And there were these schools that you're not used to seeing in the college football playoff playing in the semifinals and playing for national championships. And as the boys would sim seasons, I'd say, "Hey, let me know when you guys get to the playoff part, yell at me. I'm curious to see like how this all plays out just from a simulation standpoint." Obviously, a great amount of work is put into the roster building in that game and the talent on that game. And it's a decent way to kind of see how that talent is going to play on the field up against their algorithm. So, they would. And oftentimes we would see these names that I've never seen before. And as I was watching the remainder of the college football quarterfinals on New Year's Day last Thursday, I just couldn't shake the fact that the game was ahead of reality. The sports changed. It's changed. Kind of feels like on a drop of a hat, really quickly. Maybe we should have been more prepared for it. Maybe we should have seen it coming a little bit more. But I didn't. Not to this extent. Not to the extent of Ole Miss and Miami and Indiana. Oregon, okay, they've been in the mix for a long time, but you don't expect to see that in a Final Four this year. And you don't expect this to be where college football is. College football, for the majority of its existence, was a caste system. There were various places that you were, and it was very difficult for you to move in or out of one of those places. Like, the teams that are bad have been bad forever. Indiana was one of those teams. They'd been bad forever. Ohio State was on the other end of it. Ohio State was always, I mean, that's why we use that Real Madrid line. It's really the most, college football historically is the most similar to European soccer in that the best teams have always been the best teams and they stay there. It takes a lot for one of those teams to drop back. It's hard to get into that club. And college football was never about parity. It's never been about that. That's not what it's ever been. If you look at the history of the sport going 120 some years back, and you just say, well, who's won the national championships? It's all the same teams. Sure, you could go way back, University of Chicago or Swanee or some of these schools in the 30s, 40s, but Army, Navy had years. But for the most part, it's been the same schools throughout. It all changed. And it feels like it changed on the drop of a hat. It was NIL, it was Portal, it was all those things. Change is here to stay, too. It's here to stay. And we're going to get into some of that as this show goes along. But it was an attention getter. Waking up on Friday, and obviously you guys were here and did the show, and so you've already reacted to it. But as you took the weekend to think about it, this sport is probably not ever going back to where it was for 125 years. Now, not to say that those teams that aren't historical powerhouses and Cadillac programs, Mount Rushmore programs, those programs will still be in the mix. I don't think they're going anywhere. I don't think, you know, Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama are going the way of Nebraska, but they're also not going back to where they were because the money is now dispersed and it's dispersed throughout the country. And if you have a booster or a group of boosters who are engaged and ready, you can flip your program in a second. Just think of the things that we've seen here in the last month going back to signing day. The number one quarterback in the country left Georgia and went to Vanderbilt on signing day. We'll get into some of the specifics, but what Indiana is doing in the portal while competing for a college football semifinal, what Texas Tech did last night, this is not the way this sport is supposed to be run. If you have options between LSU and Texas Tech, you go to LSU. That's where you go. But it's changed. It's changed. Some of it's just highest dollar. That's a lot of it. And I don't think we'll ever go back. That was kind of my big takeaway by the time I was done with the games on Thursday night, that the 125-year plus history of college football kind of always being the same way is over. Now, I don't know if this is good for the sport or bad for the sport. Who knows? More people are going to have shots at national titles. More people are going to have shots at the playoffs. So I suppose that's better. It's more of a college basketball feel, right? As opposed to what football's been. So it's something we're all going to have to get used to. And it hit me over the weekend that this is where we are now in the sport.
And I don't think we're ever going to get like 3 year, at least not for the next decade. Excuse me, as we get in like the 2030s, where we're going to have 2 years that are going to be the same. Because January 23rd, I think, is the new floating date for the playoff expansion. And that'll probably go to 16. I think if you listen to the Big Ten and Tony Petitti's grand plan of 30 teams, so it's going to be so much more different next year than it was this year and last year. And this year and last year have been so different because there were 12 teams in the college football playoff, because, you know, there's the transfer portal has been so wild, and it gets wilder as you start to think Nico Iamaleava's number that he wanted from Tennessee is like at the low end of what some of these quarterbacks are going to be getting this portal cycle, and even lower end with the next portal cycle. And I don't know if they're the same kind of caliber, the same kind of quality that Nico was after he led an SEC team into the college football playoff. I think Brendan Sorsby was the top portal name, and he's at Texas Tech right now. You know, Lincoln Keenholz at Louisville. Indiana picked up a quarterback. Like, are the numbers that we hear from some of these guys, if they're equal to what Nico was asking for, that's a wild spot.
Yeah, it's our reality now. And the other thing about it is it goes to the conversation of roster building. Like,
because you have to have others.
Should a program like Ohio State even start a freshman quarterback ever? Now, the kid we had this year was a Heisman finalist. But is it better to just get a new one every year? That's what Cignetti's doing.
Miami?
Yeah, Miami. They're still playing.
We talked a little bit about that on Friday, Bo, with you can have wide receivers that can come in and play really good as a freshman. You can have running backs. Obviously, Ohio State saw that with Bo Jackson this year. Jeremiah's a different beast, but you saw Jeremiah be maybe the best player in college football as a freshman at the wide receiver position. Yeah, Denzel Burke came in and started as a cornerback. But quarterback and offensive line are two positions that are very developmental positions. You want guys that have played a lot of football.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you just hit the transfer portal every year at those spots?
Yeah. I mean, it feels like if you're going to sign up for that, I mean, that's what Texas Tech's doing. That's what Indiana's doing. That's kind of where the sport is headed. Like, does it make sense to even develop your own guys? Does it matter if you get the number one quarterback in the country? How many of them hit the portal anyway? These are the questions that Ryan Day and Mark Pantone and the folks at Ohio State are going to have to answer. How do you build a roster? What's the best way to do it? Is there sustainability to this? Or is this a year over year, complete turnover of roster to where you aren't really building a program anymore. You're building a team for that year. That's the thing that they got to sort out. And I don't have an answer necessarily for what's the right way on that, Bake.
And Bo, I've said this multiple times on this show, and I said it with T-Bone and Tyvus earlier this morning. I prefer the way Ohio State's handling the transfer portal. I don't know if that's a way to win moving forward, but I prefer recruiting and developing your guys and then using the transfer portal to plug holes, or unless there is an uber talented guy that wants to come to you, like a Caleb Downs or like a Julian Sayin. And obviously Julian, they were in on recruiting and wanted to bring him here that way. I prefer the way that Ohio State's doing that because I feel like that's better for you in the long run rather than just flipping your team every year and having no team chemistry. I don't know if they can do that moving forward the way this is, but I prefer the way Ohio State has done it.
Yeah, and we'll see if that's the path. I mean, I think that's the way the traditional powers are going to do it. Alabama's going to try it that way. Ohio State, Georgia, Notre Dame, they're all going to try it that way. Can you win national titles still doing it that way? That's part of the question. We'll dip back more into the portal. Some of the big news of it over the last 24 hours or so just opened on Friday, and already some big names finding new homes, including some Buckeyes who are on their way out. Are any surprises there? We will get to that coming up at 9:30, but some big news up in Cleveland here this morning as Kevin Stefanski is out. Where they go from here and how that decision was made coming up next. We're off and running on what should be a very busy Monday edition. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We're known for three things: games, conversation, and common man yelling about things only he cares about. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Do you suffer?
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
In the day, if you wanted to listen to The Fan, you turned on the radio, and that was the end of the story.
But now, oh baby, stream us live on The Fan app.
TuneIn app, iHeart app, we're everywhere.
The Fan, Ohio's streaming destination.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly sunny skies for us today to kick off the week, with daytime highs getting up into the mid to upper 40s. For tonight, a little bit milder with lows right around freezing and mostly cloudy skies. And then for Tuesday, chances of rain are back into the forecast. Otherwise, skies will be cloudy and mild with breezy winds and highs in the low 50s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Are you fired up? Is it Monday? It must be Reaction Monday.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Bo knows many people. He talks to the interesting ones on this show. This
Bishop and Friends.
Well, it happened right as we came on air today. The news out of Cleveland of Kevin Stefanski is out as the head coach. Official statement from the Haslam family. We have tremendous gratitude for Kevin's leadership of the Cleveland Browns over the last six seasons. He's a good football coach, even better person. We appreciate all his hard work and dedication to our organization, but our results over the last 2 years have not been satisfactory. We believe a change at the head coaching position is necessary. Wish Kevin, Michelle, and the Stefanski family all the best in the future. Andrew Berry will continue to lead our football operations. The entirety of our focus is on building a team that brings our fans the success they long deserve, and we will continue to work relentlessly towards that goal and invest whatever resources necessary to build a winning football program. Andrew will immediately begin our thorough process to find an outstanding new head coach and leader of our football team. We have an exciting young core to build upon, and Andrew and his team are intent on adding to that core and building out a roster that can achieve sustainable success. First several years that I was that he was up there, I hosted his coaching show and got to know him a little bit. Our kids, his oldest, my oldest, NBC, who, by the way, yeah, did have a pretty good weekend. And of course, I nailed that. I told you guys. Told you. I was going to have to watch two stupid football games I didn't care about.
Damn Falcons.
Yeah. So, he's bouncing around like an idiot. Well, no, as appropriate. He's bouncing around like a 14-year-old who just cashed in the most absurd bet of all time. I have yet to tell him how it's actually going to go down. So he thinks he's just getting the straight cash, homie. He's not getting straight cash, homie. There will be an investment. He's not getting his hands on anything. I mean, not a cent. But maybe it can grow into something special, and that's what we'll roll with on that. But yeah, that was pretty brutal. Back to Kevin and the Browns. They made the playoffs twice with him. They won a playoff game. He didn't coach in the playoff game. He's a two-time NFL Coach of the Year. The last 2 years have been pretty rough. The offensive operation the last couple of years had fallen off from what it was previously, and you could say, well, they didn't have Amari Cooper, they didn't have Jarvis Landry, they didn't have Nick Chubb, they didn't have, you know, an offensive line that was in his prime, and all of those things would be true. They did not, but they won eight games in the last 2 years, and someone has to fall for that. Now, I think conventional wisdom around the league was that it would be a reset at front office and coach. That didn't happen. So Andrew Berry will stay on. He will, as the Haslam said in the statement I just read, he will oversee the coaching search going forward. I would say that in order for that to net what you hope it nets, which is a big time head coach, the conventional wisdom would have to be that it would have to be somebody who has worked with Andrew Berry previously. Because anybody who hasn't, be a lot to sign up for working with somebody who you don't know. And so think of people he's been, obviously he was with in Cleveland when John Dorsey was there on that front office for a short period of time. He was in Indianapolis. Really, he was kind of groomed in Indianapolis, and then of course was in Philly. So think about coaches that were in those spots that he's worked with before, because to me, if you're keeping a front office, then you have to have somebody who wants to work with that front office, and that will be the challenge.
If Jim Schwartz wants to be a head coach again, I do think he's earned the opportunity to interview and to be a legitimate candidate for it. I think obviously the smart play is to kind of wait and see what happens with the rest of the day. You're only, 9 o'clock Eastern time when that news comes down, so we're 22 yeah. minutes with it. There are four vacancies right now. The Giants and Titans have been open for a little over a month, the Falcons. So I think patience would be the best thing to do right now and see what other fallout from the rest of the leagues. There are some other positions you think that might come vacant. I mean, I'm really mm-hmm. interested to see what the Ravens do with John Harbaugh. But if he's available, I think he's somebody that you give serious consideration to, because over the weekend, you're just kind of looking through who NFL reporters think is like the list of guys up next. And yeah. none of them strike you as like, yes, that's the dude you get in the building and you don't let leave.
Right. Yeah, no, there is no Mike Vrabel in this search. I mean, there's not that type of name out there. Go ahead, Vic.
I think we all knew this was coming based on the smoke that started rolling out the past couple of weeks.
Sure.
I agree with this move. I think it was time to move on from Kevin, but I also, me personally, feel like Andrew Berry is the bigger problem to me. Like, if I'm getting rid of Stefanski, I'm definitely getting rid of Berry first. He's the one that I would have got rid of. I wouldn't have even hated if you kept Stefanski and moved on from Berry. I just feel like this Browns roster, and you can say it's the Deshaun Watson move or whatever it was, but Andrew Berry was at the front of that. He made that move. This roster has gone downhill from the time John Dorsey left. When John Dorsey left, it seemed like this roster was a playoff roster. And the only thing that there was question about was quarterback. Kevin won that first coach of the year with a roster that mostly John Dorsey had built. And I feel like it's just slowly deteriorated to where you're at a 5-11 team and the team that picked second in the draft last year. So I think Andrew Berry's the bigger issue here. Bo, I wonder if this past draft and the success of Quinshon and when he was on the field and the success of Carson Schlesinger and Mason Graham looks like someone that's going to be in the middle of your defensive line for the next 10, 12 years. I wonder if this draft saved Andrew Berry's job.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. I'm sure it didn't hurt. I mean, I saw that Andrew Siciliano had he had a great tweet yesterday that someone else had sourced that he tweeted out about the Browns are like the first team in the NFL history to lead have rookies lead their team in passing, rushing, receiving, tackles, like all of these things. It was all rookies in all of those things. The challenge for Andrew Berry, and this is something that he's going to have to do in the next couple of drafts since he's going to be heading the football operations, is he's got to land a quarterback, unless you believe you already have one. And that's up for debate. I think the handling of Shadur is going to be fascinating for the next coach. Like, remember, guys, everybody in the league passed on Shadur multiple times. So there's probably not a coach out there who was like, yeah, he was my number one guy. That's just the odds of it, right? The whole league passed on him. He's a fifth round pick. So you have that part of it.
Unless you go get Deion.
Right. He would do it. Yeah. You have to have... the other thing Andrew Berry has to figure out is he's got to get weapons for this offensive roster in the biggest way possible, and he needs to draft tackles. And the things that he has struggled with is drafting receivers and tackles. I mean, that's been the struggle of it. So I think that's going to be pretty fascinating. He has three quarterbacks currently that are going to be on his roster unless he trades one of them, because Deshaun Watson can't go anywhere, Shadur, and then Dylan Gabriel. So those three quarterbacks are locked in. I don't think you're going to go into next season with four quarterbacks again to start the year. That would be pretty shocking to do that. So the Haslams will spare no expense to redo contracts, to do the situation that the Bengals are in with Burrow, like letting Jesse Bates go and all the things that happened to the Bengals over the last 5 years that see them in the place they're in now. None of those things would have happened with the Haslams on the watch, because they would have restructured all those contracts and done guaranteed money, and you wouldn't have had that. So that's what Andrew Berry has at his disposal. And he has done I think the other thing you have to remember with Berry is it was a pretty good fleecing of the Jaguars for the Travis Hunter deal. So
Come on, Buffalo.
That's out there too. Like, you know, there's that one. The acquisitions of Cooper and Jerry Jeudy and so forth. And that's what they're going to lean on a little bit there. But it is I think you have to have somebody who either Andrew worked with or somebody that he's connected with works with. So somebody through the Colts system, somebody through the Eagles system, that to me would be, or perhaps someone who's been an assistant here with the Browns is, you know, is it Todd Monken or somebody? I mean, I'm just throwing names. I mean, and I think your Schwartz thing is accurate too, Reese. Like they'll give him an interview. They should. They've been great defensively under him. And if he is going to your point, if he's going to be a head coach again, now feels like a pretty good time. So we'll see if there's a press conference up there at some point today. Go ahead.
I will say I'm not all in on Jim Schwartz being the next head coach of the Cleveland Browns. I don't know if I love that. But the Browns do need, to me, to get a football guy in that head coaching position. And no knock on Kevin Stefanski, because I know all these guys are football guys, but they need someone that just gets a feel for a game and isn't all analytics. And I know that's not in lockstep with Andrew Berry because he's a big time analytics guy, but you need someone to balance that out. You need someone to throw out the sheet and say, this is just working right now. Let's do this.
Yeah. And I think that will be, you know, that's probably where Schwartz would be. So there's two type of coaches you can hire in the NFL. There's follow me to freedom guy. So that's, and sometimes follow me to freedom guy has that analytics. I mean, that's Dan Campbell. He's that, and he does all he does with the analytics. So there's follow me to freedom guy. That's Tomlin. That's Harbaugh. That's that. And then it's, here's all the schematic stuff that I'm going to do to put you in a position to make a lot of money. And that's the other guys. That's the LaFleurs and that's those type of guys. So you have to decide what type of guy you want. And if you want to follow me to freedom guy, then I think Jim Schwartz is sitting there and he is a follow me to freedom guy. I don't know how many of those guys are going to be available in this particular coaching cycle. We'll see. All right. We'll get back to the college side of things. A very busy weekend in the transfer portal. Some big hits already. Are there any surprises in terms of guys who have hopped in from the Ohio State side of things? We'll get to all of that in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends, right?
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
All right, here's what's up on a Monday edition of the program. Obviously, a lot happening on Black Monday in the NFL. We just discussed the Kevin Stefanski firing up in Cleveland. If there is some availability up there, we will attempt to dip in on that and get you guys a little of that, whether that be from Andrew Berry or the Haslams. We'll grab some of that audio and see what comes of it. But Andrew Berry staying on as the general manager of the Cleveland Browns and head of football operations, and then they will begin a coaching search from there. General manager is a position that college football certainly has now as well. The difference is they don't have any rules. The NFL has rules. There are contracts. You sign as a free agent. You're locked into that contract. There is a financial package that's put together. You sign up to play for that package. In college football right now, there is none of that. In college football, there is year-over-year free agency. No contracts, no nothing. Year-over-year free agency. No repercussions for anything. No way of policing it. No way of really anybody navigating it. And the crazy thing about it is if you've listened regularly, you know the adults in the room ruined all of it. Like, they made this bed. And so what we have to do is try to decipher through it and navigate the waters. And they're quite choppy. And I cannot imagine being Mark Pantone this weekend. I can't. And trying to go into a room with a kid and who says, I'm worth this. And you say, well, I don't think you are worth that. Well, Texas Tech does. And so I'm going to go there. And right now it does feel like we're in a position where the highest bidder is winning more often than not. And there is some examples of that over the weekend. From the Buckeye side of things, so far, 16 Buckeyes in the portal. Some that aren't too much. In fact, some have already found homes, as Bake mentioned, with Lincoln Kienholz, who landed at Louisville and feels like a very good spot for him to land. That's one that makes all the sense in the world. Some of the other names that are out there already, Tegra Tshabola, Devontae Armstrong, Bryson Rogers, Damarian Witten, Jelani Thurman, two tight ends in the portal there. Sam Dixon, James Peoples, who is a massive recruit on the offensive side. He is in the portal as well. On the defensive side, Logan George, CJ Hicks, former five-star out of Kettering Alter. He is in the portal. Dom Kirks, Bryce West. Probably the two that are most surprising from a Buckeye fan perspective, and those of us that observe it, would be Mylon Graham and Aaron Scott Jr. Those are the two that jumped in. You went, oh, those guys are both big time recruits. Those are guys in the old days would you develop, you bide your time, you wait your turn, and then you're thrust in and away you go. And in this day and age, now they are in the portal. Where they land, nobody knows because nobody knows what the market is on any of this. There has been a lot of news in the portal in terms of around the country. A couple of additions coming in. Former Ohio tight end Mason Williams is joining Ohio State. That is, that's a, cause Kaczmarek was there, was Ohio too, right, Reese?
Yeah, it's a nice little pipeline from.
Yeah.
Athens. I mean, Williams is from Mogador, so Northeast Ohio kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So another one happens there. And then UCF and BYU long snapper Dalton Riggs commits to Ohio State as well. It's hard to know what is real and what is not in this world in terms of, you know, who is Ohio State interested in? Who are they trying to get? They've been linked with some of the biggest names in this portal, but they haven't. It seems like when these guys come in for a visit, they're not being locked in. What is Ohio State's approach on this? We don't really know. Because there's no real way to know what the reporting is. It's all secondhand, sometimes third hand in terms of, oh, they're not paying top dollar. They're not doing this. Well, there's no way of knowing what's the real truth on any of it. I know we do the real truth tomorrow, but there's no way of really knowing. Go ahead, Reese.
So when we were doing the show Friday, when the portal opened, there were anywhere from 1700 to I think just over 2000 players per on three. And then ESPN put out a number that 4,500 Division I football players and into the transfer portal. I think on three still saying 2,300, and people have thrown other numbers at me. And I'm like, I don't think any of those numbers are necessarily wrong, but I think it just shows to the lack of transparency for this whole process that nobody really has a beat on any of it.
It reminds me of, the 1.3 million people at the Cavs party.
It was 1.7 at the Cavs parade. You know this. Come on.
Whatever it was. It was all Lima. Anthony Lima, radio voice up there.
But he did it with enough confidence.
He just said it, and then everybody ran with it. But that's how that got started. He just threw out a number, 1.3 million or 1.7 million people. That's how he did it. That's what the portal is. They just throw out a number.
Reese, it's interesting that you say that because you said we were close to 2,000 during the show, and then I got home and I'm watching Twitter periodically throughout the afternoon, and then I see 4,100 are in there now.
Another number that I'm just hearing. Yeah.
And then the other thing that was thrown out there that it sounds like was a total by his agent just throwing it out there is Friday when we were doing the show, everybody was saying that Rasheem Biles had a visit scheduled with Ohio State on Monday. And that made sense. Pickerington Central kid, local kid, Ohio State's losing linebackers. They're two starters. Yeah. And then I hear Austin talking about it yesterday, him and Cole and Austin saying that was a total fabricated report by Rasheem Biles' agent just trying to get interest drummed up in him.
He's the kid from Pitt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does he need interest? He's the top, well, he, some sources say he's the top portal linebacker.
How do you even?
Regardless, though, 128 tackles on the season, that's something.
You should absolutely get him on campus.
But look at one of the quarterbacks in the college football semifinal, Trinidad Chambliss. He's a D2 guy at what? Ferris State, goes to Ole Miss not to be the starter. He went to Ole Miss to back up Austin Simmons. That's what he went to Ole Miss for. And now he's there. You don't know. That's how these guys, you can discover diamonds in the rough. They're guys at the highest end that you have to, are we getting our money's worth out of this? Like if Miami doesn't beat Ohio State last week in the national quarterfinal, did Miami get its money out of Carson Beck? Like if he would have lost that game and they paid him $4 or $6 million or whatever they paid him to be the quarterback at Miami, they had two losses. They made the playoff. I guess that's a step up. But had they lost to Ohio State, what's the ROI on that? That's the spot you're in with all of this. Bo, and that's how you end up in these crazy spots where who knows what these guys, they're worth what somebody's willing to pay them.
Bo, you mentioned Chambliss, by the way. There are reports out here in the last 15 minutes that he's agreed to a new deal with Ole Miss should his medical redshirt waiver go through.
Yeah, I'm sure he has. Come, he went from probably getting $50,000 to back up Austin Simmons to getting $5 million to be the franchise quarterback at Ole Miss on his sixth year of eligibility. I mean, that's where we're at with this thing. Some of these schools, and I mentioned this off the top, this is a new era. This is where we are now. Some surprising names landing some big, or should they be? Maybe this isn't surprising. Maybe this is telling you where you are. Michigan State star transfer wide receiver Nick Marsh, he committed to Indiana over the weekend. Former TCU quarterback Josh Hoover, he committed to Indiana over the weekend. Former Boston College running back Turbo Richard, he committed to Indiana over the weekend. These are massive guys at the top of most people's lists that are all going to Indiana. The reality is they're going nowhere. Cignetti's going nowhere. He's doing all of this all the while preparing for Oregon in the national semifinal. Like, that's happening simultaneously. He got all these guys to lock
in. Yeah, they had a press conference, like a video press conference with Cignetti and Dan Lanning. And Cignetti was like, yeah, my Oregon prep got changed dramatically because of all of the transfers that they were hosting over the weekend. And it's like, how if the portal opens Friday, you're hosting on a Saturday? Someone needs to be tampering. Someone local needs to be, and I'm not encouraging this, tampering as well as they are in Bloomington.
Yeah, they're on it. They are on it.
And we, just the way this is, right? We have talked about who the Ohio State offensive coordinator is going to be and whether Ryan Day is going to continue to play call plays or not. I don't know if he is, and I don't know who that person's going to be. But just for the simple matter of this, I feel like Ohio State cannot promote that position from inside. I feel like they have to go get a guy that has experience as a head coach in college football, whether Ryan is calling the plays or not, just to help Ryan with all of this stuff. Because it is difficult for a head coach right now with everything that is going on. And Ohio State plans to always be playing during this time of chaos.
Yeah, until it gets all fixed, and I don't know when that'll be. This is the world that you're currently in. The Big Ten had a very busy weekend. Rocco Becht, former Iowa State quarterback, he followed his coach. He's going to Penn State. Several Iowa State guys going to Penn State. Several Penn State guys going to Virginia Tech. Grunkmeyer, I saw him. He went to Virginia Tech over the weekend. The biggest fish so far to land was former Indiana and Cincinnati quarterback Brendan Sorsby. He left LSU, went to Texas Tech, and then signed on the line, which is dotted, to be a Red Raider. The reported deal over $5 million for him to be the quarterback at Texas Tech next season. Just think about, life comes at you fast, right? Like, you go from Indiana to Cincinnati, then you prove yourself, and next thing you know, you're at Texas Tech making $5 million a year. Sam Levitt officially entered the portal over the weekend. He's going to visit LSU this week. He's also expected to visit Kentucky. Kentucky's another one of those schools. There's these schools that we have to start getting used to. If Kentucky decides, hey, we'd rather spend on football than basketball because we spend all this money on basketball, we're not winning anything, look out. I mean, all it takes is a couple of boosters. Like, Texas Tech is going nowhere, nowhere. And Chad Campbell, the guy who's behind all the money at Texas Tech, he said as much today on social. Get used to it. Best facilities, we pay the most. Oil man.
We've talked about, like, the fatigue from boosters and donors, and I think that is a real thing. I just wonder if Texas Tech's so immune because Campbell was an offensive lineman at Texas Tech, and his money comes out of the ground.
Yep.
He might be the one that will never get immune to this because his money's going nowhere, and his love, his paramount love, is the Red Raiders.
That's why when you think about Texas Tech and Texas A&M.
Indiana, too.
And Vanderbilt and Indiana, like, places that have money mobilized that see results, there's your ROI. That's where it all comes from. Busy, busy sports weekend. We'll try to put it all into perspective coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. Can't get enough of your favorite fan content? Good news, we're on all the digitals. Follow 971 The Fan on X, Facebook, YouTube, The Talk, and Gram. Your digital home for endless shenanigans. The Fan.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Hey, folks, it's Jeremy.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Cosby Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Keep your friends close and your producers closer. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, press conference happening up in Cleveland right now. Browns owner Jimmy Haslam addressing the media up there on the decision to move on from head coach Kevin Stefanski. We'll get some of that audio for you and share it for you later. Andrew Berry, the general manager up there, he will stay on. He will head the coaching search per Haslam's statement from earlier this morning. Busy sports weekend as well. All the NFL stuff. It's not often you get an NFL final playoff spot determined on the final play of the game, but that happened last night in Pittsburgh with Baltimore missing a 44-yard kick that would have clinched the AFC North for them, instead setting Pittsburgh to the playoffs, and they will host Houston next week. So you have that going on over the weekend. You've got massive stuff tonight here in town. Buckeye basketball hosting number 13 Nebraska tonight. Had a big weekend for the Blue Jackets as well. Sabres, who were red hot, and the Jackets put it on them 5-1, and then lost yesterday to the Pens 5-4 in overtime. We were talking before the show, if you are Ohio State basketball, if you are the Blue Jackets, right now is when you have to hit. It's got to, for this town, you got to do it right now. The Buckeye football team has gone away. You want the attention, not just in terms of the folks who go to your game, but the people who talk about your teams like us. You need us engaged right now. It's not our job to be. I think that's a big disconnect sometimes with some fans. Well, you have to prop these up. No, no, no. They have to demand that we talk about them. And if they win, they do. It's that simple. Buckeye basketball beat Nebraska tonight, right? Blue Jackets, two massive crowds. Red Hot Sabres took care of business 5-1. You're up 3-1 after one yesterday against the Pens at home, only to lose in overtime 5-4, gave up two in the third. This is your chance right now to pounce. You have to take advantage of this moment in time in the Columbus sports landscape. Otherwise, you get swallowed up and forgotten.
Tough for the Blue Jackets, who are on the road for the next, I think they're out west for the next four. I wondered, Baker, they've got 16, 17 games, 30 some odd days before the Winter Olympic break. Like, what's the minimum for this Blue Jackets team to go into that break feeling like, all right, you can come out and make a playoff push?
Well, I think it's so hard because I believe it was Jeff Svoboda, I believe, had the tweets earlier this morning or late last night about last season at this point, the Jackets were in the same exact spot as they are this year. Maybe they even had 2 points fewer last year than this year, but they were in a much better position than they are right now. They're very close to a playoff spot points wise, but you got to jump over everybody right now. And last year, there weren't so many teams bunched up in that middle like there are right now in the East. I think if you're the Jackets, you still just got to be right there, right? Like, be right there close, within a point or two of that eighth seed in the East. It's just going to be so hard to make up the ground right now with so many teams. It's funny about the Jackets this weekend, and the Jackets have been playing some pretty good hockey here for a long time. And when you get up 4-1, you need to somehow find a way to win the game. But I feel like yesterday's game was a ball, or in this situation, puck doesn't lie.
Yeah.
The Pittsburgh Penguins for 50 minutes of that game really skated circles around the Jackets. The Penguins came out the first 8 minutes and were just buzzing. And then the Jackets get that goal, and then the goals just came in bunches all of a sudden. Yeah. And it like stunned Pittsburgh. But then the second, you start off and Zach gets that goal. Really, neither team was good in the second, and the third period was just all Pittsburgh. So Pittsburgh was the better team yesterday.
The right team won, yeah.
You're kind of lucky you got a point out of that game, but if you get up 4-1 like that, somehow you've got to win.
Porty, I think, did a pretty good job of articulating what you just talked about, the whole, and this is what we talked about with Jody a couple of weeks ago on Shelly Time. Porty had this was yesterday before the game, he tweeted this out. On 12/21, the Jackets were in last in the East, 1 point behind 15th place Toronto and 7 points behind second wildcard New Jersey. Since then, they've won 4 of 5 in regulation. They are last place in the East, 3 points behind 15th ranked Rangers, 5 points behind second wild card Pittsburgh. That is how difficult it is to make up ground in the NHL. This is why regulation wins versus Eastern Conference opponents like Saturday versus Buffalo and possibly today versus Pittsburgh are paramount. Points, gaps, deceive. The number of clubs between the Jackets and the second wild card is the issue. That's what we were talking about when you have, when you lose 7 of 8. When that happens and you dig such a hole that digging out of it is borderline impossible. It just is. Like, you have to have multiple stretches of winning 4 out of 5 in order to dig your way out of it. So something for them to certainly monitor, and a massive one. Buckeye basketball got a nice win at Rutgers end of last week, and a massive one tonight for Jake and the guys to an undefeated Nebraska team, who kind of stayed the course. And eventually now it feels like they're kind of aligned on, it feels like Nebraska is aligned on everything athletically except football. That's kind of the only thing, because they're really good at they're getting the basketball thing sorted out. It feels like they're good at a lot of things, but the football thing they can't. But a massive one for Jake tonight to get a win and give Nebraska their first loss.
Trying to look and see with Nebraska football, like Dylan Rayola's in the portal.
Well, they got the kid
from Notre Dame.
Yeah, Kenny Minchie.
But it's kind of the weirdest thing where you see so much passion for Nebraska athletics, and the coaching hires have been misses, but they've been coaching hires that most others in the country would have done.
Like, it's pretty amazing, like how they stayed firm with Fred Hoiberg.
Yeah,
with Nebraska, he went 7-25, 7-20. 10-22, 16-16, 23-11, 21-14, and now he's 14-0. I mean, who gets through all that?
And
they've turned it around, though.
And Jacob Reimer's going crazy every time Nebraska plays with the way they play and how good they are. This is going to be a good test for Ohio State tonight. And the one thing that is really concerning me about this Buckeye basketball team right now is we thought maybe they had a little more depth this year. It sure doesn't seem like it from the past couple of games. You're not getting a lot from your bench. Last game, you just got 14 points off your bench, and those were all from Brandon Knoll. You thought maybe give Bruce, save him a little bit throughout the season, not playing him. He's playing 37, 38 minutes. Mobley's still playing close to 35, so one of the issues that a lot of people talked about last year sure does not seem to be fixed right now, but a win tonight against an undefeated Nebraska would really taste nice.
It certainly would, and it's one of those things that happens, and now you have our attention. That's the job, as it were, for the Buckeye men's basketball and certainly for the Blue Jackets is to make us pay attention to you by winning. It's kind of that simple. The Browns didn't win enough the last couple of years under Kevin Stefanski. He has been relieved of duties, ownership up there with a press conference that is going on right now. Some of the reasons behind it: a strange Sunday down in Cincinnati with Myles Garrett making history, but a game that felt like it mattered but didn't really. We'll try to make sense of all of it coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
The radio couldn't contain us, so we've taken over YouTube. Catch Morning Juice weekday mornings at 6 by searching 971 The Fan. Do it.
Men, the new year is...
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car... maybe not.
Is sick. With those four words, the innocence and joy of childhood disappears. But Starlight has taught us four other words that make all the difference. The power of play. Happy kids heal faster. That's why Starlight Children's Foundation delivers happiness through gaming, toy deliveries, and more to hospitals across the country. Learn more at starlight.org.
After my accident, people warned me to slow down. I said, I don't know how. Thanks to my VA care team, I haven't.
At VA, we're using technology to help veterans recover faster and live their lives to the fullest. Learn more at vacareers.va.gov/PSA.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. It's Black Monday in the NFL. We'll start with the most breaking news. Zach Taylor will return as Cincinnati's head coach in 2026. The Browns fired Kevin Stefanski earlier today after six seasons in Cleveland. They're going to retain Andrew Berry, the general manager. They've got the sixth pick in April's draft, along with Jacksonville's first-round pick. There are four NFL coaching vacancies as of right now. The Falcons fired Raheem Morris on Sunday. The Giants and Titans have been vacant for over a month. On the field, the Steelers beat the Ravens 26-24 last night to clinch the AFC North and the final playoff spot in the division. Pittsburgh's going to host Houston next Monday in the AFC wildcard round. In college hoops, the Buckeyes, basketball Buckeyes, host number 13 Nebraska tonight at 6:30. OSU's 10-3 overall, 2-1 in Big Ten play. You can hear Ohio State basketball with coverage at 5:30 right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Sports conversation that's worthy of a toast, or at least a stiff drink. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Battle of Ohio Sunday down in Cincinnati went the way of the Browns. It did so with an Andre Schmidt kick in the middle of that game in the fourth quarter, precisely. Myles Garrett breaks the sack record previously shared by TJ Watt and Michael Strahan. I think what we were all curious about is, did the results of what happened yesterday have any impact on the head coaching positions in either place? Whether it did or not in Cleveland, the answer absolutely can be that it did not, because the Browns did win their last two games. Instead, Kevin Stefanski was relieved of duties this morning up in Cleveland. Owner Jimmy Haslam having a presser up there today. We'll have some of that audio for you for here momentarily. On the other side of it, as Reese just mentioned, Zach Taylor is staying. Very interesting post-game press conferences for a lot of the stars down there. We'll get to that in just a little bit. From the game perspective, we won't spend a whole lot of time on this because it doesn't have a whole lot to do with where either one of these franchises are going forward. Did you think Miles would get it? Because I was beginning to think that he would not.
No, I thought he would. I thought it would be a later sack, just how the game was going. And I think Cincinnati, smartly, went away from him as much as possible. But I figured later in the game that would be... I also wonder, like, how long they keeping Joe Burrow in this thing? Game...
I think they wanted to win the game.
I do, too. And I think he wanted to stay in for as long as possible. So I was interested to see, like, where that balance was going to be. Because, honestly, Miles was the biggest winner from yesterday because you get the sack record. The Bengals, I think... In a loss, one, because Joe Burrow didn't get injured. But I was confident that 23 would come on the field yesterday.
It sure seemed like through most of this game that 2 weeks in a row, the Browns won games because of the Myles Garrett sack record and people not wanting it to happen. Like the last 2 weeks, it seems like teams just didn't play football because they didn't want him to get a sack record. I mean, I looked at the stats at halftime. The Browns had 40 yards of total offense and were winning the football game.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was. And Burrow had two choices on the play that ends up becoming the record holder. He had a record breaker. He has two choices on that. Either one, he's going to get smoked by Miles because Miles was in there in about 0.7 seconds, or he was going to do what he did, which is just get down. And
it was a smart play by Burrow.
Yeah, there was nowhere for him to go. There was no step up. This wasn't Favre for Strahan. It was nothing like that. There was really nowhere for him to go. The pocket had completely collapsed, and Miles is there in about 0.7 of a second.
And we played audio from Joe on the show Friday where he said, listen, sometimes there's times when you have to take a sack. It's the smart play. Yeah. He's like, there's other times where you're going to do everything you can to not, but there's sometimes you just have to take it. That was the sack record. He had to. There was no choice.
Yeah, and I saw like, I think we have some of this audio. Zach was so pissed off about the holdup in the game.
Yeah.
Do we have this?
That's right. There's 5 minutes left in our season. We're playing for our lives here. And I was never told that we're going to stop the game. And in a critical moment like that, and the refs just said that they made a decision that they were going to stop the game. And they said they tried to do it as quickly as possible. I didn't feel that. We didn't sub. We're trying to be on the ball and go and play with tempo. And the umpire just held the ball so that we couldn't do anything. And I'm yelling at Joe, get on the ball. We didn't sub. We're going. And then we couldn't play. And so, again, trying to get an answer was not easy. They just said that they made a decision as a crew to stop the game when that happened. I guess it didn't matter when it happened. It just, they were going to stop the game and let it happen.
And you weren't informed of that?
No, I was never informed of that. They didn't say one word. We meet with them in the 90-minute meeting before the game. They never said one word about that.
if that part is true, and I take Zach at his word that it is, then that's a bit of a problem. But this is pretty standard operating for the NFL. When a record is broken, there is, you take a beat and proper homage is paid to whoever broke that record. We've seen it time and time again with the offensive records that have happened through the years. We've seen it with the sack records. I mean, that this is to be expected. Is it the responsibility of the officiating crew to alert Zach? I suppose it probably is. But also, Zach, my God, you're not fighting for your lives. You're 6-10. Like, that's not what you're doing at all, dude. Like, that ain't it. You should have fought for your lives the last 2 months. That's when you should have fought for your lives, not in this ridiculous game that didn't mean anything.
It does come off as really salty. Like, yeah. The next day, and when your season, no, it in fact was not on the line. There was nothing on the line. There was, for me, thinking Bengals fans, all they would want from Sunday is Joe Burrow stay healthy. He's going to play all four quarters.
Yeah.
Please, dear God, and baby Jesus, keep him upright and healthy. Everything else, whatever.
Zach's right if he was not told that's wrong. Like, this was weeks in the making. Like, yeah. You thought it was going to happen last week, so you had time to prepare for the NFL, the refereeing crews, anyone. So they should have said, hey, this is what we're going to do, but also, like, be aware. Like, you know this is what happens in these games now. When someone breaks a record, they celebrate it. And also, your season ended 2 weeks ago. So what are we worried about? Like, what is this game for, other than celebrating a possible milestone or getting a better draft spot? So, I mean, there's no reason to be upset about this in this situation.
The most important thing that you can take, or that needs to be taken from this game, from the Browns' perspective, and we'll do the Bengals' side of this in a second, is you had seven games of Shedeur Sanders. That's a pretty long runway. Now, it will not be Kevin Stefanski coaching the Cleveland Browns next year. It'll be Andrew Berry, the guy who drafted all these guys. Do the Browns tie the position to Shedeur? In other words, when you hire a coach, do you say 12's your quarterback? That dialogue is going to be fascinating. It's not going to be made public. It'll leak out eventually. There will be folks who do job interviews, and Schefter and those type of guys will leak out what comes of that. The Shedeur thing is a difficult chat because he does a couple of things in every game that you go, gosh, I'd like to see more of that. Like, he extends plays. He keeps his eyes down the field. He certainly has an ability to layer the football and throw the ball down the field relatively accurately at a really nice clip. But he also does a couple of things every game that you're like, oh my God, you can't do that. You can't do that. You have got to covet the ball more than you do. So he is, and we said this before the season started, he's kind of the one lottery ticket for them that's a get out of jail free card for the Deshaun thing. Is if he's great, even if he's good, then that's the path out of it, because he's a fifth round pick, and then you can redistribute the money around the rest of the roster. Did you see enough in seven games to lead you to believe that he is?
No.
I saw enough to think maybe with some more development and seasoning, he could be something in this league. But if you want to win next year, no. Because he needs that time. He needs more time in an NFL system, working with NFL coaches and NFL offenses to polish his game a little more. So if you want to win and be a playoff team next year, no, he's not the guy. You cannot tie that to your coach.
I think it would be an unfair ask, considering he's a fifth-round pick.
Yeah.
You also have the albatross that is Deshaun Watson. So your quarterback room's in a very weird spot. You're not going to move on from Dylan Gabriel. Like, he's a third-round pick. So I think he's at, I don't know, all three of them seem safe at this point. But who knows, based off of the coach that they bring in.
Right, but can you go into, if that is the case, can you go into next season with, I mean, that's the thing that's going to make that coaching hire so fascinating. Like, this general manager is going to lead it. This is the quarterback room as it stands right now. Can you add to that room? But yeah, potentially you could. I mean, if you think about, like, Mac Jones and the way he played in San Francisco, how about Malik Willis in Green Bay? Like, did Malik Willis show you enough that you want to take a flyer on that. But the price for acquiring either one of those guys is going to be pretty substantial. Probably a second round pick at this point, right? They've probably earned that based on their play. So if that pick goes that way and now you're adding a fourth guy to the room, and who on your roster is going the other way? Are you going to have four guys in a quarterback room next year? Like, these are the questions that make it that I'm so fascinated to see how Andrew Berry decides to answer them, because he's the one in charge of it. He's running football operations. He's going to head the coaching search, and obviously ownership there is very confident with what he's done from a roster building standpoint. So that conversation to me is a fascinating one on the prospective coaching hires. Is what are you signing? What am I signing up for exactly at the quarterback position? Because that part has to be known in the biggest way possible. And since it, go ahead, Vic.
Well, I was just going to say Malik Willis, I believe, is a free agent.
So
he's an unrestricted free agent. Yeah, so he can.
That's worse though for them.
Yeah, because there's going to be a bidding war.
Yeah, like if you're the Raiders or you're the Jets, or somebody else who's quarterback needy, would you rather just have him and get, like, does he get the Darnold? He's not going to get the Darnold money, the $100 million. Like, he's not going to get that, but he could get. He definitely would get the Justin Fields money. 2 years, 40. I mean, he could get that deal for sure. And I don't think the Browns can do that.
They don't have that
with their cap situation. I don't think that they can do that. So they're going to be a little bit hamstrung in terms of it'd be much easier if he was still under contract with Green Bay. Like, the Mac Jones thing's easier because you can just do a trade and then the salary is a salary. But with free agency, if he's a free agent, then that's a little bit more difficult. And I'm just throwing names out. Who knows what they're going to do? But this is the conversation that you're going to have if you're going to sign up to be the head coach up there. You want to know who your quarterback is, or who it can be.
We're going to have some sound from Jimmy Haslam talking at the press conference here in a little bit. But yeah. I see this quote from Haslam, and it's actually making me angry a little bit. He says, if anybody says this organization is dysfunctional or Kevin and Andrew did not work well, that's dead wrong. Now, does he mean they didn't work well together?
That's what I think that means.
Because Here's the thing, they didn't work well together, because maybe they worked well with each other and they had the same philosophy, but you wouldn't be firing one of them if it went well. And also, that makes it even more maddening that you're keeping the GM and getting rid of the coach, because if they did work well together, you're saying it wasn't good enough for the coach. Why is it good enough for the general manager? Like, this all makes little sense to me, what's going on right now with the Browns.
The couple of minutes I spent watching and listening to Jimmy Haslam in the break, it felt like he took some extra time to try to debunk things that were said about this front office in the off season and in the regular season. And I think to that point, he was mostly talking about there being dysfunction and between Barry and Stefanski. Like, they weren't ever on the same page. And I think he's right. I don't think they were ever not on the same page.
No, I think that they were. Yeah, I mean, I think they walked hand in hand on all of it. So I think that's probably why, you know, this will be such an interesting coaching hire for them up there. There will be no coaching hire down in Cincinnati. Zach Taylor will return. Who else will return in what could be a very interesting offseason down there? We will get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We're known for three things: games, conversation, and common man yelling about things only he cares about. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
You can count.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Nice. So who's the source of this?
One of those sites I go to.
Is it? Okay.
You better clarify what site it's on.
Clip that.
Okay.
Rothman and Ice. Weekdays at noon.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus.
The Fan.
Come into your local trip.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly sunny skies for us today to kick off the week, with daytime highs getting up into the mid to upper 40s. For tonight, a little bit milder with lows right around freezing and mostly cloudy skies. And then for Tuesday, chances of rain are back into the forecast. Otherwise, skies will be cloudy and mild with breezy winds and highs in the low 50s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
The best thing about watching football this weekend, talking football on Reaction Monday.
Sponsored by The Roofing Guys.
The Fan. The uncle you never knew you had. The friends you kind of wish you didn't. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is, and we are proudly brought to you by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for over 78 years. So change is in the air up in Cleveland. Kevin Stefanski out as the head coach there. Andrew Berry will remain as the general manager. He will remain in charge of football operations, and he will spearhead the next coach. We'll get some audio from the ownership up there, Jimmy Haslam, having a press conference earlier, and we will have some of that for you. Go ahead, Beck.
I don't want to do it. I don't want to hear the audio. I've already heard a little bit. It's the first Monday of the new year, Bo. I did not want violence, but Jimmy Haslam is making me choose it. I don't want to hear it. I've heard enough.
You should have been in the car with me this morning at the drop-off line, where for whatever reason, after 2 weeks off, everybody forgot how to do a zipper merge again.
Oh, I'm sure.
Then we got people. There are two rows. We got people now trying to do like two-lane drop-offs, double parking in the middle, just absolute chaos into the streets. So everybody forgot everything to start a day. But yeah, I mean, well, here's the, and I saw there was actually a tweet, I think, from Marty Bannister about all of it. He said, look, the Browns might miss on a lot of this stuff, but at least they try. And that's the thing with Cincinnati that is going to be fascinating, because as you watched them last night and yesterday afternoon, and you watched that game and you watched what's happened really since the Super Bowl season, and some of it's not all their fault. They've had bad luck. They've had injuries. They did have an off season last year where they were able to keep Burrow, Chase, and Higgins all within the last 18 months. They kept them all. Somehow they did. They kept Hendrickson too, although that went as we all thought it would with him. No changes down in Cincinnati at all. They will run it back. They will have, what, the ninth pick in the draft to work with here? Is that where they ended up? Ninth?
No, I think they're 10th. I think Cincinnati's Kansas City 10th. Is yep. 9.
KC's.
KC's.
Yeah.
Jeez, don't get yourself a playmaker, Mahomes.
Well, so what? Jesus, I mean, if Mahomes misses a lot of next season and they find themselves with even better draft position, are you not telling me that Jeremiah Smith wouldn't look good in that?
Oh, my God.
They're not saying Mahomes is going to miss much of the season, though.
I know that's what they're saying. But
I mean, so he had that happened in December.
It's ambitious to think he'll be back September.
It definitely. Yeah. So how long do they go into it? And next year's draft is going to be nuts, because you're going to have all those quarterbacks and Jeremiah in the middle of it. So that next year's draft is going to be, Jeremiah's the type of talent that might make somebody pass on franchise quarterback, but it's, you know.
Also, sure Carnell Tate's going this year?
Going where?
To the NFL draft.
Yes. He's
yes.
Cool.
Are we?
Yes.
Yes.
I am. I think Ohio State, we'll get into that a little bit later, and we'll get into that with Austin in about 8 minutes. I think Ohio State's going to be pretty aggressive on the wide receiver front if they can be, and I think they need to be. But down in Cincinnati for the moment, Joe Burrow post game, lots to say, lots to kind of weigh. He's been very candid here the last month or so on a lot of stuff. Let's start with his confidence in the coaching staff.
Yeah, it's tough to say right now without talking to people. And those meetings will be done the next few days. I'm very confident in our coaching staff. I know those guys work really hard to put us in good positions. And, you know, I always feel well prepared and put in the best spot to go out and succeed. So from that standpoint, I think we're in a good spot.
Speaking of those conversations, that front office has given Joe a lot of weight in decisions that are made. Certainly we saw that last offseason with Chase and Higgins both getting done. Here is Burrow on the upcoming conversations with the front office.
Yeah, I think, you know, we'll have those meetings the next couple of days. I think for the most part, we're all on the same page about what we have to do and where we have to go. Without having the meetings, it's tough to say, but I know they certainly value my opinion. I think about things critically. I think that I can provide some insight into things going on in the locker room and on the field that could help us win. And So I plan to voice some things just like I do every offseason.
I think the fan base down in Cincinnati, and certainly everybody in Central Ohio who's a Bengals fan, probably wants massive change, right? I mean, I'm sure they want Zach Taylor out. They probably want a new front office as well. But when you have the support of the best players on the team, it goes a long way in you keeping your job. And Zach actually was asked about that, the fact that guys like Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase have his back. Here was his reaction to that.
Yeah, so we work really hard on the relationships. Those are more important things, and we want those guys to trust us. You know, we work really hard to put them in great positions so that they can get the most out of their abilities and help our team win. And I think that they see that and they respect that. And the only way we can reach our potential with those two guys is if you got a relationship to match it, where you pour into them and they know that you want the best for them. And I've worked really hard with those two guys, as our coaches have, and they've reciprocated that. And so it's a hard thing to do because you face a lot of adversity, you know, as a group, and you go through a lot of ups and downs. And to do it with those guys is special because of how hard they work and how much it means to them. And so I think to be a part of that, I don't take it for granted, is something we're really hard at.
Do you guys know any diehard Bengal fans?
Not diehard.
Are there diehard Bengal fans?
I think so.
Yeah, I think they're...
Just a shot.
I think it's fair. No, I think that there are. I just am curious how all of this lands. Like, if you're a Bengals fan and you had a team that reached the Super Bowl in, what, 2021 now? Was it 2021? And since that point, you've missed the playoffs now 3 out of 4 years. Some of that's injury, and there's things that happen, certainly. They can flip this thing really quickly. I mean, they have one great draft. One great defensive draft, they can fix it and flip it pretty quickly. But it was strange to me that they weren't able to score yesterday on the Browns, who were playing basically without everybody but Myles Garrett and Grant Delpit. I mean, like, they could not move the ball. They couldn't go down and get points and get touchdowns. I just assumed that they would be able to with all of those injuries that were there on the Browns side of thing. And they weren't able to. So they have some things that they have to address, or else they're going to waste Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, which would suck tremendously.
I think the Bengals have kind of proved it, like the end of last year, and then even the end of this year, they don't beat the Browns yesterday. But their defense down the stretch here has actually been playing better. The rookie linebackers have kind of taken a step, and some of their younger guys.
Ja'Marr Stewart had a sack yesterday.
Yeah, some of their younger guys that they have brought in have played a little better down the stretch here. I think the big thing for Bengals fans is it's just the apathy that's there. Like, none of them have liked Zach Taylor. Even when they made the Super Bowl, it feels like none of them have liked Zach Taylor. They don't love what he's done, and they just, it's just the way the Bengals do things, I think, that has gotten to them. Like, I don't think anybody really believed that Zach Taylor or Duke Tobin were going anywhere. Zach Taylor has two more years on his contract, and they just don't do those things, as you mentioned.
No, they don't pay people not to work.
It almost seems like they don't try.
They certainly don't. They don't pay people to not work for them. Like, they definitely don't do that. And so they didn't do that towards the end with Marv. I mean, Marvin Lewis had that job for a long time. Like, they stay the course. Zach's records there, 2-14, 4-11, 10-7, 12-4, 9-8, 9-8, 6-11. So that's what they've been, you know, that at the 21 team got to the Super Bowl, the 2022 team lost in the AFC Championship game to Kansas City. He's 5-2 in the playoffs, but they haven't made it the last 3 years. So that's kind of where it stands on that. But I guess if Joe's happy, then like let's flip it. If you are the Brown family and you're sitting down and you're having conversations, who are you going to listen to? Your fan base who wants a change, or your quarterback who says, I don't?
Probably the quarterback, because you're paying him. You're not paying the fan base, and the quarterback puts butts in seats.
Yeah.
You put the quarterback all over everything. Like, you get a healthy Joe Burrow next year, and he's the face of the franchise.
Yeah. Yeah. And they can really, you know, one good draft, and they've had those before. I mean, they drafted T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow and a bunch of others. So they can flip it relatively quickly, but I could understand how you're running out of patience if you're a Bengals fan, for sure. A very interesting first few days of the transfer portal for Ohio State. We'll get Austin Ward's perspective on that in his Monday conversation in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. He knows everything about the Buckeyes. He's been offered tens of dollars by a certain team to spill his secrets. He's told that certain team to go to hell.
Damn you all to hell!
He's Austin Ward.
Indeed he is. He joins on the Brian Hooting Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline every single Monday at this time. Buddy, good to talk to you. Before we get into specifics, for our audience, as rudimentary and as best as you can, describe what the transfer portal is like for Mark Pantoni and Ryan Day.
the cliche would be to drink from a fire hose, but I think it would be more like if you walked down the street and someone knocked over the fire hydrant and you still had to try and fill a paper cup full of water. It's an avalanche. It's a snowball running downhill, gathering momentum. It is because, as you and I have described for longtime listeners, but if there are, you know, new casual, as you said, rudimentary explanations, the difference in college football and the NFL is a collective bargaining agreement and contracts that are airtight and agreed to by all parties. So what Ryan Day and Mark Pantoni and every position coach is having to deal with right now is every single player on your roster you must retain, and they are available for anyone else to talk to or tamper with or back channel. Everyone is a free agent on your roster every single year. And some of this was broken up in the past. There were multiple transfer portal windows. Now, every player has to make a decision and give themselves every conceivable option. I mean, there are players that could enter the transfer portal for Ohio State and come back in. That has happened very rarely in the last couple of years, but I think, like, increasingly you'll see more of that across college football this time around. But, and I'm not saying that to make predictions, but it's to underscore the fact that you can bring back your free agents. You have to, because every single one of your players ultimately has that option to leave during this two-week stretch.
Well said, sir. Okay. We went over some of the names that are in. Surprises for you, if any, from the Ohio State perspective in terms of guys who went in the portal?
Yeah, I think the biggest surprise to me, and we can say so far, like, I think, knock on wood, it's 4 days in. I don't know that anybody qualifies as, like, a decimation to the roster or the actual plan. The only one who I think is all that close to doing so, based on what we would have projected for the starting lineup, was Aaron Scott, the cornerback who's now spent 2 years in the program. I personally, and I don't know if they would have done this or not done it, I would have liked to have seen a starting secondary next year with Aaron Scott and Devin Sanchez at corner and Jermaine Matthews playing full-time at nickel. I understand that Jermaine Matthews is likely to return. That decision has not been finalized or nailed down at this point, but we know that Aaron Scott there is in the transfer portal already. He and Bryce West are both, you know, players with enough experience that you could have reasonably seen them in the starting lineup or definitely in the two deep either way. They are also players who could conceivably go out there and command a premium based on their recruiting pedigree from a couple years ago when basically every program in the country was after them. So, you know, when guys don't find regular roles in the first couple years, the transfer portal becomes an increasing conversation. I think it's unfortunate that is the reality for someone like Scott, who in year three could have made a huge jump and maybe position himself for either more money at Ohio State or in the NFL draft after that. That's not to fault anyone for their own decisions, and I respect everyone making it. But I think if you're looking at this and trying to find departures that would alter the plans for what Ohio State needs to attack in the portal, this puts cornerback at a premium for Ohio State right now. So Tim Walton will be, you know, and has already been hosting visitors and looking to make moves to replace Aaron Scott and Bryce West in the secondary. They'll have to do that. Mylon Graham is someone that I've told you multiple times, Bo. I was enamored with his athleticism.
Sure.
Saw a lot of comparisons with him and Garrett Wilson. And, you know, I guess some of the writing was on the wall when he didn't get on the field in November. But you could tell with some of just the social media response from Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate that they also see him fulfill that potential at Ohio State, and that's not going to happen. But that's not one that I think disrupts the actual portal plans. I think Ohio State was going to be involved and has been involved already with wide receivers, which has been a change in direction from what Brian Hartline did over the last couple of years with his wide receivers. But that might have been a tipping point that changed the plans there for Mylon Graham. Bryson Rogers had already gone in the portal. Whether that was a direct impact on his decision, I don't know. But the other one I would throw in, Bo, we all know the inconsistency of Tegra Tshabola, and it is not at all a surprise that he's leaving. I'm only bringing him up because someone who has started as many games on the offensive line as he did for the Buckeyes and some of the issues that they dealt with on Wednesday night against Miami without him, you know, some of the appreciation for what he provided might have actually gone up in his absence. And I don't think that Ohio State would have, you know, paid an above market value to retain Tegra Tshabola. So I'm not bringing him up as a surprise. I'm just saying some of the sting might actually exist because that is a position where you need that veteran physicality, and he had the experience in the program. And Josh Padilla and Gabe Van Sickle liked those guys a lot, but you know, those are actually bigger shoes to fill than you might think.
Yeah, it's funny you bring up Mylon because I had tweeted this out about a month ago after watching. It was right around the Iron Bowl when Ryan Williams wasn't used at Alabama, and I'm like, he can come here. And I know he's got drop season. There's a million things, but I'm like, and a lot of people fought back. They're like, oh no, there's all the talent as you can believe in the wide receiver room. And I'm like, I'm not exactly sure they're totally satisfied with everybody behind those top three.
No.
And I don't. Yeah. I said that, and people are, oh no, they're all. I'm like, I don't think so. I think they're going big game hunting at wide receiver. Now the question is, can you bag a big game? That's the job now, and are they going to be willing to do so? Do you think that they will big game? We know that they're already trying with Coleman, among others, but do you think that now it becomes a necessity in that room?
Yeah, I think so. And you can't, part of the reason, I understood Brian Hartline's approach, and he was landing some of the biggest and touted receivers in the country through the recruiting pipeline, but I think ignoring and turning a blind eye to the transfer portal is not a sustainable option every year. You shouldn't get complacent, and I'm not suggesting that Brian Hartline was or that Ryan Day was either in the past. You could kind of look at that and see when you have Jeremiah, when you have Carnell, and some of the resources that you have to devote to having those big names at the top, you have to hit on then some of the other development pieces. And I'm not, you know, Mylon Graham was a five-star. That he shouldn't be viewed in that way. Quincy Porter is one of the best wide receivers in the country. We all know that Chris Henry Jr. did not come at a discount necessarily for Ohio State either. But, you know, some of the, I don't know, frustration or difficulty in looking at the way Ohio State played with that pace of play, with some of the lack of explosion on offense, and then not playing when this team has been at its best. It's had six wide receivers that it could trust implicitly to roll through the rotation. We know that that wasn't the case. They had a walk-on playing in the middle of November in place of Bryson Rogers or Mylon Graham while Quincy Porter was also dealing with injury. So clearly they weren't satisfied with the development track there. And the surest way that you can enhance that with proven commodities is in the transfer portal market now. So I think whether Brian Hartline was still here or not, I think he would have had to adjust that approach. With Carnell Tate's quote-unquote salary cap number being freed up, they can and will be, I think, aggressive. Now, what does that mean in terms of the guys at the very tippy top of the market? A Coleman? I don't know. I mean, I think you're talking more about, you know, a DeAndre Moore or something like that from Texas that could fit this bill. And then you look at who they're competing with right now, I would assume they could be able to pay more than Kentucky or Colorado. But we'll see how that works, because that's not been a spot where they've done that traditionally in the past.
It's a brand new day. I led the show with this today. It's a brand new day in college football. We've been getting here. It feels like we got here quickly, but it's just where it is. I mean, you see the activities from Indiana over the weekend, like these new Texas Tech as well. Like, this is the new world you're in. And if it's about the most money always, then potentially Ohio State's not going to get everybody they want, which is going to be something Buckeye fans are going to have to adjust to. You said something there, buddy, that it hit me like a ton of bricks when you said it. You said when they lost Wednesday night to Miami. And I was like, oh, yeah, that was last week. I mean, it feels like 6 weeks ago, but it was five days ago. How did you and I and so many others not see that coming? Because it really, I understand it was different, but it was basically the Indiana game over again.
Yeah, I think there was, this is not revisionist history, because we spent the entire month of December saying, well, there's a path here for Miami, of course. They're talented. Mm-hmm. In October, we were talking this about this being a national title, potential matchup, athletes all over the field, but primarily up front. And, you know, we said in this matchup, what is the single biggest concern for Ohio State is dealing with with Akeem Mesidor, dealing with Reuben Bain, dealing with Justin Scott, dealing with that front. And I think the reason that we weren't wrong about that, because that did bear out. But I think the assumption was going to be, with a month to prepare, that Ryan Day, that Tyler Bowen, that Keenan Bailey, that Billy Fessler, they would all come up with solutions to account for that, because they had extra time to prepare. And there are ways to slow down a pass rush, whether that is tempo, whether that is some of the RPO to make these guys think on the way to the quarterback, whether that's screen games, getting the football out of the quarterback's hand. You know, we see teams do this to Ohio State's defensive front like every week. Oh, why aren't the sack numbers up? Well, they're doing this and that to account for that and slow it down. All right, what Ohio State did, some of that, but not nearly as much as they needed to, and that first half was so disjointed. And, you know, there we can certainly Monday morning quarterback this till the cows come home, but you know, I just think that was the most surprising part. I assumed Ryan Day's influence on the offensive game plan, not just the play calling part, but having 3.5 weeks to look at what they could do, how they should attack Miami, that there would be a better plan of attack for doing so. And some of that, you know, could have been blown up by, you know, the lack of execution on the right side of the offensive line. Some of that, I think, actually was drawn up well, and they were, you know, one step away from Bo Jackson breaking it or breaking away a long run. The blocking was there for the run game, or a throw that was maybe 1 yard out in front of Jeremiah Smith on the deep ball where he walks in for a touchdown. There were opportunities to win the game where I don't think I could say that the game plan itself was the only issue, because there were a lot of them. And once you get into the talent equated games, like Miami realized that they could throw a punch. And they were not, once they got that lead, they were able to play with a lot of confidence, and Ohio State, I think, got rattled by that. And so that's almost, it was comprehensive. Like the defense, I don't blame them, but even Sonny Styles missed a tackle on Wednesday night. There were a lot of things that were out of character for the Buckeyes that contributed to that loss.
Certainly were. And certainly no days off for you, my friend. Going to be a busy few days. So appreciate you. And we'll keep following you and keep up with everything that's going on from a roster build perspective. Thanks for your time as always, pal.
Appreciate you both.
Yeah. All right. There he goes. Austin Ward, The Beat with Austin and Berm and the Roosters live show on YouTube. And of course, 10TV Plus. We'll do Thing or Not a Thing coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This is the Jake Diebler Show, brought to you by Encova Insurance.
80-73, Ohio State defeats Rutgers. What did you say when you took the timeout, down 15? It was just around the four-minute mark of that first half, starting to set the trend back in the right direction where you got the lead in the second half and played a gritty second half on the way to victory.
Yeah, you know, obviously we need to address our lack of rebounding there for stretches of the first half, so that was the topic of conversation. And then, you know, we wanted to make the adjustment, all right, going to zone, and felt like that was a way that could help us keep them off the free throw line and hopefully keep them out of the paint. So, listen, they came out and hit some shots early. And, you know, our guys, that run at the end of the half was critical. And just proud of the way, the resiliency our team showed. And, you know, then it was an old-fashioned Big Ten road dogfight the rest of the way, and we came out on top.
We'll have another comment after this.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game-changer, both on and off the court. That's why Encova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. Basketball is full of challenging shots, and life can be too. With Encova, you don't have to do it alone. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
80-73, Ohio State defeats Rutgers.
Coach, want to talk about that defense, the adjustments. I know in the game prep you were going over the potential of playing zone. Tariq Francis was unconscious in that first half, 5 of 9 from the field, 2 of 4 from long range. But in the second half, 1 of 7, 0 for 2. I know it's a team game, but what was it, a combination of zone? Was just more attention to detail or tracking him down? What led to him not being effective in the second half?
Better ball screen coverage, Ron, I think was part of it when we were in man. And then the zone, I think, helped take him out of the rhythm. You know, they were looking to attack through the high post there early, flashing two bigs, and they looked to attack through the corners, and they were setting ball screens. And our guys did a really good job in the zone. They broke us down off the dribble a couple times late in the clock, but you know, I thought our guys' awareness and communication in the zone was really good.
This is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Toyota Thon is on. Wrap up the year with a new Toyota. Now through January 5th, get 4.75 APR financing on remaining new 25 Corollas and Corolla Hybrids. Excludes GR and Corolla Cross. Or lease a gas-powered 26 Corolla LE for $199 a month for 39 months with $36.99 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS. Tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Everybody knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizza, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint. And the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Hey, it's Bobby Kerr.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
If you say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a Reaction Monday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
The head coach firings continue on a Monday morning. After just 32 days in Scotland, Wilfried Nancy was sacked by Celtic FC this morning. Nancy's the shortest serving manager in the club's history, lost his first four matches and only won two of the eight that he oversaw. Columbus hired Swedish soccer boss Heinrich Rydström on New Year's Eve. Thing or not a thing?
I mean, that is stunning. That's eight games?
They had protests outside their stadium.
Like wanting him fired?
Yeah.
Well, listen, that's Celtic and that's Scottish Premier League. And so the two teams that matter in that are Celtic and Rangers. They're the only two that matter. Let me ask you this. Did they, in that stretch, had he lost to Rangers?
So that was the most recent loss.
There you go. So, yeah, like they don't have, over there, you don't have time to build. Like if you are the manager of, and Celtic and Rangers are to the Scottish Premier League what Barcelona and Real Madrid are to La Liga. I mean, you're not supposed to lose to anybody except to the rival, and you better not lose to them much. So if he lost four in a row leading into that, that's a big problem, and they have no patience for it. So, kind of a stunning thing, but obviously there's not a whole lot of patience, and probably deservedly so, the way that those leagues are set up.
Yeah, for them, this is a thing. This would be like, this is almost like the Blue Jackets hiring Mike Babcock, right? And he gets fired before he even coaches a game with the team in that offseason. Or if Ohio State basketball hired a coach and got rid of him eight games in.
Yeah.
It's pretty stunning. And Reese, I think you said the guy that hired him got fired as well, too?
Yeah, their manager or their head of football operations. was canned as well. Or sacked, I should say. Use the proper terminology here in those instances.
Nancy will be back in the MLS and by next year. Be back in the league.
I just wonder for some of these clubs. Like I think they were halfway through their season. Mm-hmm. Celtic was. So I wonder, you bring him in, you give him a two-year contract. You probably pay him a couple million, euros? And then sack him?
Yeah. Well, they don't have the pay. Over here, it's all reverts to the mean. Like, all of we want the parity, right? That's what over there they don't. Like, you're Celtic. Like, be at the top of the table or get out.
The Crew just hired Rydstrom last week,
right.
I believe. I wonder if they would have waited a week if Nancy would have been coming back here. Or maybe Nancy and the Haslams have a good working relationship. Maybe he can coach football and we can just send him up to Cleveland.
From the corrections department, Scotland uses pounds. So they didn't pay him in euros. Tonight, Bose, Montana State Bobcats are playing for the FCS championship in Nashville. Illinois State's the opponent. The Redbirds are 10-point underdogs. It'll be a 7:30 p.m. kick on ESPN. Thing or not a thing?
It's a massive thing. They haven't won a national title since 1984. Montana's won a couple in the time in between. They beat Montana in the semifinal to get to this point. So they did the Brawl of the Wild, or Cat Grizz, as we in Montana call it. And they got big time. So they won the Cat Grizz game, and then they won it in the semifinal, which had never happened before. It'll be awesome tonight. A buddy of mine who I worked with early in my television career went to Illinois State. And so I've been to Normal, Illinois, and there's not a better name that describes a town than that. I mean, that is exactly what Illinois State is. It's very much what Normal is. It is very, very normal. Illinois State's on an incredible run, though. They went to North Dakota State, won their first game in the playoffs. Something they were the number one overall seed, and they just have knocked people off one by one by one, and they're humming right now. So I have a fair bit of concern for the mighty Bobcats not being able to get it done on this stage. They've played in this game before in recent years, but it's time to get it done.
This is a really cool thing. I feel like we don't give these games enough attention or the attention that they deserve because these are really awesome events, especially for these kids that are playing in it. We've talked about Trinidad Chambliss and his run with Ferris State in Division II and how cool that was for him, and look what it's done for his career. The real thing here is, why don't you have the chopper ready?
Yeah.
And going to this game, Bo.
Why am I not going to Nashville? Because I got to coach two basketball practices tonight for the fours and sixes. So I'm going to have it on DVR and try and catch up by the time that I'm done. I may try and watch on my phone while I'm in the middle of practice. Might try that too. We'll see.
Danny Cannell was on Sirius XM's College Sports this past Friday and said, even though the SEC has been the standard in college football for a while, the CFP should not cater to the SEC anymore.
I have deferred to the SEC as the deepest conference in college football this year.
Sure.
But it is interesting how we've kind of moved the goalpost a little bit, because for a long time, all we heard about was national championships. How many national championships we have? And they had an incredible run. But now that we've had 2 years with Big Ten champions, all of a sudden it's, well, they're not deep. They don't have any. They don't have that deep team. It's such an easy road. And now we're looking at one more team remaining in Ole Miss, who is, by the odds makers, the fourth best team of this playoff. Can we remind people of this outcome so that the next time we're selecting teams for the college football playoff, we just don't defer and give the SEC five or even six? There were a lot of people who are pounding the table for six, which would have been half of this playoff field. I get that your schedule is tough. But is it so much tougher that we should just manipulate the playoffs so that you guys have an incredibly unfair advantage to have that many teams in there? To me, I think this has to be discussed and has to be looked at. But Greg Sankey, the SEC, they have the most power that they are holding on to as tight as they possibly can, because they do realize the more you get in, the better chance you have of eventually winning one.
Thing or not a thing?
This is his shtick. This has been his shtick for a while, even going back to when he was doing the radio show with Ryan Russillo on ESPN. This has been his thing, is to go anti-SEC, even when they were winning the national title every year. A lot of what he says here is true. Some of it's utter nonsense. The CFP didn't really cater to the SEC. They left him out last year. This year they got in. They got punched in the mouth. Somebody's always going to be on the outside looking in. It was between Alabama and Notre Dame. They chose to make one school mad instead of a whole conference. But I don't necessarily think that the CFP caters to the SEC in the first 2 years of it. They did a little bit in the 14 playoff for sure. They got a massive benefit of the doubt, but I haven't seen that in the first 2 years of the CFP.
It definitely didn't happen last year.
No.
Maybe you could make an argument that it did this year.
Maybe.
That Notre Dame should have been in over Alabama. But again, all that's hindsight. And as I told you, I'm not going to be nitpicking teams at the end of these things anymore because I don't think for the most part they are deserving to play for a national championship or are going to win. So, I mean, that's going to make a lot of people here happy. And we talked about this a lot through the year, right? Did the SEC have a truly dominant team this year? No, I don't think they did. They had a lot of really good teams, but they didn't have a great team.
No, they did not. How we judge this Buckeye team? Was this a great Buckeye team? We will blitz them one final time. Keep an eye on everything happening in the National Football League as well. Final hour coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
1, 2, 3. Here in The Fan is always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan.
Enjoy. Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah. They've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Ohio's NFL teams have different plans for 2026. The Bengals are running it back with head coach Zach Taylor and general manager Duke Tobin, while the Browns fired Kevin Stefanski earlier today but will retain GM Andrew Berry. Cleveland makes it 4 coaching vacancies along with Atlanta, Tennessee, and the New York Giants. In college football, 16 Buckeyes are currently in the transfer portal as of Monday. Lincoln Keenholz popped out of the portal over the weekend, signing with Louisville for 2026. In college hoops, Ohio State hosts number 13 Nebraska tonight at 6:30. You can hear that game with coverage at 5:30. Cornhuskers are unbeaten on the season while Ohio State's 10-3, 2-1 in conference play. Jake Diebler's show is going to hit the Fan on Wednesday while the Buckeyes are at Oregon Thursday. CBJ are also headed out west this week. Jackets lost to the Penguins Sunday 5-4 in overtime. Columbus is at San Jose on Tuesday. You can hear Blue Jackets hockey right here on the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Movie reviews, sports discussion, and whatever the hell Reeser does. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, busy day in the National Football League. We'll try to put it all into perspective in 28 minutes from now with our good buddy Nate Davis of USA Today. Also go through some of the news north of here, 71 North, with the Browns making the change on the coaching side of things with Kevin Stefanski, but not on the front office side of things with Andrew Berry. You'll hear from owner Jimmy Haslam here momentarily on that. We did want to do this, though. Wanted to put the Buckeye season and put a ribbon on it. So we finish it off in style with a little Buckeye blitz one last time.
Bishop and Friends present Buckeye Blitz.
All right, gentlemen, this is the season-long, season-ender edition. We did this well, Bake. What did we do well this year?
I think we played defense really well. In fact, to the tune of the number one defense in the country. And there were a couple times in that Miami game where you needed to get them off the field. But I don't think defense is the reason that you lost that game to Miami. Defense definitely isn't the reason that you lost the Big Ten championship game to Indiana. This defense, in my lifetime, looking back and remembering, is right up there with some of those defenses in the mid-90s that you started calling the Buckeye defense the Silver Bullets. It's as good as any defense that I remember being here at Ohio State. It was fun to watch this defense this year.
Yeah, a defense of historic proportions. Acquire talent. This is the most talented team in the country. Like, from top to bottom, it was Ohio State, and then it's everybody else. Certainly, you can put other teams up there with the Buckeyes, but the idea that you came in to the year thinking it would be like C.J. Donaldson and running back by committee, and oh, here comes Bo Jackson, and then you had the year with Julian Sain, you're like, I wonder how this is going to look. And it was not only, it was the most efficient passer in the country. He was a Heisman finalist. And then Jeremiah Smith, you got another year of where he was incredible all the time.
Yeah, I went a little, I think both you guys are right. I think I went specifically red zone defense, that they, you know, it, both of those things are the right answers. The thing that is, even as you were going through that though, Bake, I kept thinking, but they needed a three and out against Indiana, and they needed one in the national quarterfinal against Miami to give the ball back. And that's the thing that was so weird about this year. And to Reese's point about the overall talent, it was, but it never totally all hit when talent equated it. You never had that. You had it in the Texas game a little bit, but even in that one, we're like, I think there's more there. And then that's the thing that's weird is like, maybe that's what we did well. We won a lot of games by never really shifting into fifth. And maybe that's the criticism of it as well, as we try to make sense of it. Didn't beat Indiana, didn't beat Miami, because we kept doing what, Bake?
I think, in hindsight, it was a killer instinct. Sometimes you just got to go out there and want to bury the people across from you. And I just don't think it was there. We talked about it all year. Man, Ohio State won by 124-6, but it sure seemed a lot worse than that.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State won 30-14, but it didn't even feel that close. And I just think there's a little bit of a killer instinct, a junkyard dog type instinct, that this Ohio State football program lacks. And it may be the only thing this program lacks.
I think for the Buckeyes, they didn't beat Indiana, they didn't beat Miami, because they failed to, really, the primary thing for me, failed to game plan for an aggressive pass rush. The Hoosiers had shown you all season, what the Hurricanes have shown you all season, was they're good with four. And you never felt like they were fully ready for that. And just the physicality that they showed as well, that they had shown on tape before the games against the Buckeyes.
Yeah, the two lines of scrimmage, when talent equated, weren't up to the task against Indiana and against Miami. And then the other thing that was just a constant gripe of mine was obviously short red zone, short yardage answers. They just didn't have those. The field goal kicking thing was a disaster. And then just the tempo they played at, leave no margin for error. It's like when we picked it and we thought, oh, I think I had it 24-14 over Indiana, or I'm sorry, over Miami. My thinking was, well, that's how they're going to try to, well, if we get to three scores, that's good enough. And it wasn't, because you couldn't get there. I'd like to see more in 2026. What would you like to see more of, Bake?
I'd like to see more tempo. When you have the most talented team in the country, use it. Like, don't slow games down and keep them close. You're better. You've got more talent. Go out there. Have a lot of plays. Have some fun. Beat someone 56-10. Beat someone 49-14. Go out there and have a little fun. Play ball. You're built to go fast.
In the regular season, more red zone throws to Jeremiah Smith. Just felt like at times they forgot they had four. And I don't know who's going to be the Robin this season. I mean, at times you had two Batman, 4-17. But those guys can't be forgotten about when you're 20 to goal to go.
Yeah. I wrote down tempo. That's why I laughed when you wrote that, Bake. I just couldn't believe they didn't use it more. I kept thinking that they had it in their bag, and they just never pulled it out. And I just think Julian would thrive in that. I just think ball out quick, tire people out, let's go. But maybe they didn't do that because they didn't trust the receivers behind 4-17. I mean, that could have been part of it, too. Coach who earned his courtesy car this season, who do you got, Bake?
I mean, it's Matt Patricia. We talked about this defense. And it was so fun watching the players, Arvell, Sonny, Kenyatta Jackson, Caleb Downs, all those guys. It's fun watching them play football, but it was fun watching Matt Patricia use those football players and using them as pieces in his chess game. That was really, really fun to watch. I don't know what Patricia's future is, but I'd sure love to see him here next year in Scarlet and Gray.
Yeah, it's Matt Patricia. I'll just give a nod to everybody defensively. I mean, that was an effort from all three stages of the Ohio State's defense that got better with each individual position and playing the way it did as a cohesive unit. Like, that's a testament to Patricia and all his lieutenants.
Yeah, I'm going to go one of those lieutenants. Good buddy, obviously, so no surprise here. But threes, I don't know a position coach in America that had two first-team All-Americans in his room. Two guys that he went and sought out and said, give me those guys. And then turned him into that, and both are going to be first-round picks. Just an incredible job out of threes up there. Game Ball's offense for the season. Who do you got, Bake?
To me, it's Jeremiah Smith. is the best player in college football. When he's on the field, you see three guys following him, four guys following him. And I'm not even sure how well Ohio State used Jeremiah this year, but still, 87 catches, 1,243 yards, 12 touchdowns. He, next year, will probably break every Ohio State football wide receiver record.
Yeah.
Jeremiah is the obvious pick. You could probably go Carnell. I went with Bo Jackson. It was so much fun to watch, and it was fun to watch him take that running back one job.
I'm going to go Saiyan here. Obviously, it didn't end the way that he wanted to, but he was still plenty good in both of those games. There were things that were missed, sure, but to be a Heisman finalist after going through a quarterback competition and being in the mix, and what he's like second all-time in single-season completion percentage, almost beat the Bro Nix record. So, like, he did everything that was expected and then some for a first-year starter. Game balls defense, who do you got, Bick?
For the same reason it's Jeremiah Smith to me, it's Caleb Downs on defense. He's a cheat code at safety, and I know some people think you draft a safety in the top five, that's way too much. If a team doesn't draft him in the top five, they're stupid, because he'll help your whole defense. I know you talked about it a lot last year, Bo, watching the all 22 with him. I got to be at a handful of games this year and see that view, and what he does not only during the play, but pre-snap. I mean, he literally is like a coach on the field. He is a tremendous football player, and I feel like we are lucky to have had him for 2 years.
God, wouldn't the Bengals, just if they could somehow luck into him?
He might be gone by the time they get to it.
If, if he slips to number 10 in the draft, that may be the biggest steal in the history of the draft.
Yeah, it'll be up there, yeah.
I know the Browns need playmakers, but if he's available, he might be at six, and it may be very hard for me to watch him them pass him up, because, again, they need weapons on the offensive side. I have Caleb Downs as well. I don't think there was anybody that was as important to this defense, and even with Jacob Rodriguez at Texas Tech, I'm not sure there was any defensive player in the country more valuable to their operation.
Yeah, and I think that he's the right answer. I just want to give some love to Sonny, too, because Arvell got a lot of attention early in the season, but as the season went along, Sonny was the most he was always there. He was just always there, and had a remarkable career here and a remarkable final season here to be a consensus All-American. Very, very cool. And to get that tree in the Buckeye Grove. Big Ten threat level. Who in the league impressed? I mean, Indiana, Oregon aren't going anywhere, fellas.
No. Signetti looks to be the real deal, as much as you hate it.
Sucks, but it's real. I did like how he gave that little point to McAfee before running out and beating the brakes off in Alabama. I mean, think what we watched. Thursday. He housed Bama. Housed him. And then he had the weekend that he had on the portal. They're going nowhere. Oregon's going nowhere.
He is the Conor McGregor of football coaches. And as long as he's got his fastball, people are going to love it. But man, if he starts to lose it, people are going to pile on quick.
I don't think he's going to lose it. I mean, he's in his 60s. Like, how long is he going to be there anyway? 3 or 4 or 5 years. Yeah, it's incredible. You have our attention now nationally. Who has your attention now, Bick?
I think it's the same answer as the Big Ten. I think it's Indiana and Coach Kurt Cignetti. Although, if Texas Tech keeps paying everybody to come in the portal, look out. I mean, they literally may be like an NFL team real soon.
Yeah.
So nationally, I'm very interested to see how this next month and change goes for Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Because are they even going to let Charlie Weiss Jr. coach if they make the national championship? Or might he not even he be able to coach in the semifinal game?
It's just
and then the tampering
lunacy
aspect of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You couldn't ask, I think, for a more chaotic situation than what Lane Kiffin left in Oxford.
And what Lane Kiffin is trying to do at LSU right now with all of this going on. What a mess. Utter mess. I think nationally, outside of the Indiana side of things, and Oregon's been on the stage a long time, to me, outside of that, it's Texas Tech and it's Miami. Miami has been here before, but now they have activated their alumni base. They've activated their NIL. They're ready to go. And we've seen it 2 years in a row where they got the one of the higher paid quarterbacks. And now Texas Tech, who made the playoff and then landed the portal class that they're landing already, beating LSU for the kid from Cincinnati, like, that's an attention getter. That is a big time attention getter. I'm interested to hear you guys' answer on this. Can this team win it all next year? Grade.
I think right now I've got it as a B+, because I have more questions about this roster heading into next year than I did this past coming year, because I really did think that this defense was going to be really good with the athletes they had on it. You've still got Julian, though. You've still got Jeremiah. You've still got Bo Jackson. I think the offense is going to be pretty good next year. You're going to need a number two receiver to step up, and who that is, if you think it's Chris Henry Jr., that's an awful lot to put on a true freshman. Could it be Quincy Porter? Don't know. We just haven't seen it. There's a lot of questions on the defensive side of the ball, but I still think Ohio State's going to be there in the playoff in the end, and you've got a shot if you're in it. So
I saw that one of the top portal receivers, DeAndre Moore, was in town over the weekend. He's a good portal person to pick up for that wide receiver spot. Baker, like you mentioned, it's a B+ for me because of all those questions that you have defensively. But it was an A- at 8 o'clock this morning, and then I just changed it. But I'm confident that Matt Patricia will have it differently because he's more of a guy that will work the defense towards the guys he has. Less, here's what I want to run defensively.
I think it's a B at best. I think as we stand now, I have no idea what that defense is going to look like. None. I mean, just think secondary. I mean, they have so many holes to fill on the lines of scrimmage, secondary. I know they have big time talent at running at linebacker, but they need those guys to go. Peyton Pierce needs to be a dude. Riley Pettijohn needs to be a dude. Who's going to take over for safety for Caleb? I mean, you can't fill those shoes. So I think they've got a lot of questions here in the next couple of weeks to try to get answered. The NFL trying to answer questions today. The Browns answering the question of will they have a new head coach? The answer to that is yes. You'll hear from ownership on that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Tweet from a listener. Are you carrying the Buckeye game today? Considering we've never not carried one, yes. The answer is yes. The Fan.
I wish I'd got...
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one. To learn more and get help on any day, visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Ben and Jimmy.
How does it affect your love for the product if I like my Pop-Tart room temperature?
I want you to be happy.
I am happy.
No, I want you to be happier.
Common Man and Timmy, afternoons on The Fan, is sponsored by the Hinderer Motor Company.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly sunny skies for us today to kick off the week with daytime highs getting up into the mid to upper 40s. For tonight, a little bit milder with lows right around freezing and mostly cloudy skies. And then for Tuesday, chances of rain are back into the forecast. Otherwise, skies will be cloudy and mild with breezy winds and highs in the low 50s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
What's the point of watching football all weekend if you can't overanalyze it?
Reaction Monday is sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
The Fan. Our top men are working on everything except this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, it's been a busy night into Monday in the National Football League. Several comings and goings already. Just to get you up to speed, we had two in season with the Giants and the Titans. And then last night you had Raheem Morris relieved of duties in Atlanta. General manager Terry Fontenot was dismissed as well. He's actually crushed it in the draft. I mean, their last few drafts in Atlanta are pretty good. The only miss, I suppose, is Penix. I suppose just the Penix, Kirk Cousins thing was a little bit of a miss, but if you go look at their first round picks, a lot of dudes down in Atlanta that he's picked, but he's out as well. This morning you have news out of Cleveland that Kevin Stefanski is out there. Andrew Berry will remain. You're going to hear from the owner, Jimmy Haslam, just a second on that. And now in the last couple of minutes, Pete Carroll out in Las Vegas as well as the head coach there. That one was always odd to me in that they I didn't think that there was any connection between Pete and Chip Kelly. And the idea that they kind of did an arranged marriage at head coach and offensive coordinator, like that's never a recipe for success. And Chip was obviously fired in the middle of the season, is now the offensive coordinator at Northwestern. Meantime, they will be looking for another head coach in Las Vegas. And it sounds like, according to multiple reports, Brady's going to kind of head that up. So that's where that one stands. In Cleveland, the decision was to move off of Kevin Stefanski. Here is owner Jimmy Haslam on the decision that was made this morning.
Personnel decisions, particularly with people at the top of an organization, are always difficult. And I can tell you, having made a lot of these over the years, that this was as difficult as any we've ever had to make because of the quality of the person involved. Organized, worked hard, navigated our ship for 6 years through the inevitable ups and downs that we face in the NFL. Outstanding father and husband. And I think even you all who are around a lot probably underappreciate how much time we all spend together. And there's nothing more fun than winning an NFL game like we did the last 2 weeks, beating our arch-rival Steelers 2 weeks ago and then winning yesterday on the last play of the game and seeing the joy in the locker room. And there's nothing more distasteful than losing an NFL game. And it's finite. You either win or you lose. And Kevin did a lot of good things here over his time period with us. It was an extremely difficult decision we made. And I shouldn't say I have no doubt. I would be highly optimistic that Kevin will be a head coach again in the league.
Yeah, in fact, he could be a head coach in the league in this cycle if it is something that he's interested in. My hunch is that the Atlanta Falcons, the New York Giants, maybe the Tennessee Titans would all
have an interest in Kevin. What about the Raiders if they got Fernando Mendoza?
Yeah, I mean, potentially. Yeah, you know, he would. His offense is early in Cleveland with Bake and Jarvis and Nick Chubb. Those offenses were pretty damn dynamic, and they are most similarly aligned to me with Atlanta. Like, if Atlanta wanted to go one more year with Kirk Cousins, and you've got Bijan, and you've got Pitts, and you've got London, they had a nice draft on the defensive side with the guys they took last year. Like, Atlanta's a pretty good spot to set up and win. Like, you know, and Cousins and Stefanski go back to Minnesota. So, to me, if they're going to try to give it one more run with Cousins, that would be the spot.
It sounds like the New York Giants, Stefanski is at the top of their list right now. Mm-hmm. Now, people who cover their team say if John Harbaugh becomes available, he will jump Stefanski. But right now, he's the New York Giants' number one choice, it sounds like.
Which one do you think's better? Which job that's currently open? You have Giants, Titans, Falcons, Raiders. Who am I missing? Browns.
I mean, I keep going back to the Raiders just because they have the number one pick. And there's a lot you can do with that.
I would think it's the Falcons right now because you have Cousins and Penix, whoever you wanted to work with. And you mentioned Cousins would fit in a Stefanski system very nicely. Yeah,
he coordinated that offense for him.
I don't know how good London and Pitts are. I think London's pretty good. I think Pitts is a little overrated, but I don't know. Maybe those guys, Kevin, could unlock something. And Njoku had a little bit of run here with Kevin, especially when Flacco was throwing him the football. So I would think the Falcons are the team in the better spot, unless you think Jackson Dart is a true franchise quarterback and maybe you want to work with him in New York.
Or Cam Ward. Like, and the cupboard's not full in Tennessee. Like, you got to draft a bunch of things. But if you really liked Cam Ward in the process last year, one that Kevin would have done all the homework on because they were picking number two overall. So they did all the homework on Cam Ward, Shadur, Jackson Dart, all those guys, Chuck. Like if he likes Jackson Dart and you look at New York and you think about picking again high, Malik Nabers is coming back next year. Like you can Scadaboo coming back next year. Like you can be pretty competitive pretty quickly in some of these spots if you land it. From the Browns' perspective, the keeping of Andrew Berry is going to be a fascinating one, and that's why I keep thinking, like, and Reese, I know you mentioned this earlier in the show, but you think about Jim Schwartz, who's already there, and I saw Denzel Ward with some comments about he thinks Schwartz would be great. I saw those comments from earlier today. That's one worth following. And then anything else I would think would have to be somebody who's familiar with Andrew Berry, because if you're signing up to be a head coach in the league, you want to make sure that everybody buying the groceries is on the same page as you in terms of what's to cook for dinner. So I think there's got to be familiarity there.
Yeah, I know they've asked Miles about this a couple times. Most recently Friday of what if any conversations are had with him about those kinds of, you know, decisions that could and now will be made, obviously. And mm-hmm. I mean, I do think that Miles has high praise for Jim Schwartz. And so that's, you know, the Denzel Ward thing as well. I go right now, based off of who's out there as a Browns fan, I think that the answer might be in your building.
I don't know if I agree with that. And I definitely don't agree with, I don't care what the players think, quite frankly. Like, you did this and ended up with Freddie Kitchens because mm-hmm. you thought Baker liked him. And I just don't care. These players supposedly want to win. Miles told us it's not Cleveland to Canton. Miles told us he wants to win. So as long as you get somebody that's in there and going to win football games, they'll be all right. The players will be okay.
That's a very accurate statement. If you win in the NFL, people will follow you. I mean, it's kind of that simple. There's two different types of coaches you can hire. The follow me to freedom guys, which are the rah-rah guys or big leader accountability guys. And then the other guys are, schematically, we're going to get you very well paid because I'm going to put you in a position to have success. And sometimes you're both. Like, Kyle Shanahan's a little bit of both. I think McVay has turned into a little bit of both. O'Connell seems to be a little bit of both. Like, you can be both, but usually when you get your first job, you're one or the other. And that's the Tomlin would be the follow me to freedom guy. John Harbaugh, follow me to freedom guy. Dan Campbell, follow me to freedom guy. Like, those type of guys are out there. So it just depends on which direction you want to go. But with Andrew Berry making the hire and being at the forefront of the hiring process, to me, familiarity with Andrew Berry is going to have to be paramount, because if you are a coach, that's a lot to sign up for. If you don't know very well the guy who's going to be putting the roster that you're going to coach together. That's the thing that's going to be fascinating. We get Nate Davis's take on all of this around the league coming up in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The best hair on the air. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Well, a busy final Sunday in the National Football League. Some of it on the field, a lot of it off the field. For some national perspective, we go to one of the best in the business. He's our good buddy, Nate Davis, covers the NFL at USA Today and joins us on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll get to the on-field stuff in a second, but we have three coaching firings that happened today with Raheem Morris, Kevin Stefanski, Raheem yesterday, Kevin Stefanski this morning, and now Pete Carroll here in the last 20 minutes. Any of those surprise you?
I'd be curious what you think, but I thought Stefanski surprised me. I mean, obviously it's been coming for a few days now, but you know, I just feel like a guy that's taken this particular franchise to the playoffs twice, been coach of the year twice, got basically saddled with Deshaun Watson when you had Baker Mayfield in house, and he played pretty well. I mean, as you know, prior to Watson coming on board. I just feel like Kevin Stefanski was so hamstrung, yet managed to thrive relative to that organization. And given that, you know, I really thought they were signaling, hey, we know that this isn't going to be a playoff year for us, when they traded the number two pick of the draft in April, and then decided to kind of load up for 2026. So, to me, it's a pretty tough deal for him.
And Nate, I think just from the local perspective here, I think for a lot of Browns fans, it's kind of strange that Andrew Berry is staying. Right? Because those two were hired together. They were in lockstep through the process. They've been, you know, thought partners. They both have said through the years. So I think that's the thing that's also a little different here. And I think that will make, how challenging does that make that coaching hire?
Well, I mean, I think, Yeah, I agree with you on the Barry thing. I mean, they often have the joint press conferences. I mean, I still remember them kind of answering questions through gritted teeth when the Watson deal came down the first time, and it was clear they were kind of answering the questions that should have been going to Jimmy Haslam, who made that decision. But I think the thing we don't know either is that maybe Kevin Stefanski ready to move on, because I think he's going to get another job real quickly here if he wants one. And maybe the challenges or whatever's going on in the building that we're not privy to, maybe he'd had enough. But that being said, I mean, Andrew Berry has done a good job, I think, amassing a fair amount of talent on this roster. I feel like the 2025 draft looks like it's going to be a very good one, you know, particularly if Quinshon Judkins gets back healthy, and then they've got the two picks this year. So this isn't a bad job. There are certainly worse ones. And if they get the quarterback position fixed, then obviously they're not in a great position to get a young one this year with the dearth of prospects in this year's draft. And we'll see if they stick with Shador or bring somebody else in. But I don't feel like the Browns are that far from being a winning team. But obviously they need some things to break their way.
Do you have that of the jobs that are open, Atlanta, Vegas, Giants, Titans, and Cleveland? Which one do you think is the most the best?
Yeah, I'm working on that article right now. I think I kind of have the Giants and Browns 1-2, whatever order you want to put that in. And I think if you believe in Jackson Dart, and obviously the Giants did enough to trade back into the first round to get him last year. Obviously he's got some things to figure out, and he's learned how to better take care of himself out on the field. But I mean, the Giants have a good amount of talent on their roster too, but clearly they need a new voice in there, and you need to get guys like Abdul Carter to grow up. But I think the fact that you've at least got seemingly an answer at quarterback in New York probably makes that job a little bit more attractive.
And much like in Cleveland, Joe Schoen going to stay as the general manager there. Saw that this morning as well. So they will stay the course in terms of player personnel, but will make a change on the coaching side of things. So something to watch in all of these fronts. Another thing that's interesting is a bunch of legendary quarterbacks are going to help out in these processes. Matt Ryan's going to help out in Atlanta. Troy Aikman is going to help out in Miami. Maybe you know the connection there. I don't. And obviously Brady's going to have a heavy hand in Vegas, but he's a partial owner there. What do you make of these teams leaning on these former quarterbacks to help them with their hires?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's nice to sometimes have an outside voice to offer perspective. What the value is of it at the end of the day, I don't know. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when, you know, Dan Marino was the president of the Dolphins for about five minutes and decided that was too much work. So I'm not sure. I mean, he knows the organization, but like, I'm not sure how well qualified he actually is to be a front office guy. And Troy, I don't really know what insight Troy Aikman has with the Dolphins, and it seems like he's had a bit of an itch to, you know, maybe could I be a front office president or GM or whatever, and maybe this is just sticking his toe in the water. But these guys are Hall of Fame players. I mean, they know what winning looks like, and they all to various degrees come from winning organizations. But I think Brady is the most compelling. Just it's not fully clear how much, you know, he's running things versus spy tech over there. And I thought the Pete Carroll hiring from the jump was a why hire a 74-year-old coach when clearly you need to tear this thing down. So you already kind of have to wonder about some of the decision making over there. And I mean, he's a rookie owner, obviously, but we'll see what it amounts to. But I don't think necessarily being a Hall of Fame quarterback necessarily qualifies you to build a team. We'll see.
Yeah, certainly will. Talking to the great Nate Davis, NFL at USA Today on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Let's do some on-field stuff. What are we supposed to do, buddy? No Mahomes, no Lamar, no Burrow. Josh Allen's there, but it might be the worst Bills team he's played on in recent years. The AFC. I just, no one ever would have seen this coming, would they?
I didn't. I mean, I could have seen one or two. You know, I picked the Ravens to win the Super Bowl. I did pick the Broncos to win the West. So I'll raise my hand on that one too, because I was a lone wolf on that one. But I certainly hope the team would be in the playoffs. I think it'll be fun. I really don't know who I'm going to pick as my Super Bowl teams as I sit here right now. I have to turn those in at some point, because you can nitpick all these teams. And man, I hadn't realized Buffalo hadn't won the playoff game on the road since like 1992. Mm-hmm. And like you said, they've got various other issues. I mean, like Jacksonville and Seattle to me are kind of the hottest teams. I have kept the Rams number one in my power rankings, you know, despite the late season dip here. And I thought they kind of fell asleep in the Falcons game, didn't really have anything to play for at that point anyway. But I kind of look at the Rams to me are the most complete team. And maybe this little adversity they had at the end of the season where they lost the pass to the home field advantage and all that will end up working in their favor, because I think they can win everywhere defense travels, and I think they got the best quarterback going right now.
You mentioned the Rams is certainly liking their path. They'll have to go to Carolina, which is such a strange game. They lost to Carolina a couple of weeks ago, and Stafford threw picks, and it was like, what is going on? And they couldn't get it done out there. But their path, to your point, is one that you kind of like a little bit. As you look at kind of the setup here in the two conferences, you mentioned the Rams. Who else do you like in terms of the path and the matchups?
Well, I mean, Houston kind of has that same path as the Rams. Like, if we look at kind of the Steelers as the weak sister among the division winners, and defense travels, and then certainly Houston has a dominant one. So I think that, you know, if their offense is okay, and I feel like it's been a little bit better the last couple weeks, I mean, they're certainly a team you can't rule out. I mean, it's crazy. I think we have five teams in the playoffs that have never won a Super Bowl. You know, Houston and Texans and Buffalo. Yeah. There are some others there, Chargers,
yeah,
that really make this compelling. I think the Trevor Lawrence story is really cool, given all he's been through. He's finally looking like, you know, he might be the guy we all thought he was supposed to be when he was the next John Elway or Peyton Manning 5 years ago. But yeah, in terms of the path, you know, the way this. I just learned the term dynamic bracket. You know, I always get annoyed when we talk about the NFL playoff bracket, because that's not really a thing.
Sure.
But we'll see how it plays out. You know, I wouldn't discount the Eagles either, despite all their flaws. But again, I think defense travels, and they're not scared. I've been around that team a little bit more, and this doesn't feel like this is going to be like a 2023 thing where it all falls apart at the end. And it hasn't. They kind of rebounded. So. But yeah, I mean, throw a dart, man. I don't know what to tell you.
It's wide open.
Yeah, but I'm riding with the Rams, because I've been riding with them for two months now. I wrote the Matthew Stafford was the MVP column after the London game, so I think I'm invested with him at this point.
I like that. I'm a big Rams booster as well, buddy. I'll get you out of here on this one, and it's kind of a observation. I'm curious your view on it. And this goes back to kind of ties full circle into the coaching conversation we had. I don't know that anybody had a more awkward, you know, like kind of hiring process and press conference than Liam Cohen. And look at how all that worked out. Kind of just proves that we don't really know anything, do we?
We really don't. Yeah. One of my favorite like NFL film sound bites is that old Jim Moore thing. Like, but you all think you know, but you really don't, and you never will. I mean, it's so true all the time. But I knew Liam Cohen was kind of a fiery guy, and you kind of see him a lot more of that side of his personality in recent weeks than the press conference. And I mean, you go back, Nick Sirianni had a bad press conference, kind of his introductory one. So. You know, it's silly to ever put too much stock in those, particularly for guys that are getting the job for the first time. But Liam Cohen has unlocked a lot there, and you know, it's crazy to think that all we were talking about with the Jags a couple months ago was Travis Hunter, and like he's not even basically at this point. So that's a wild, interesting team, and you know, it's kind of fun to see the underdogs do well, and it feels like we're pretty much, you know, all underdogs is what we're getting this year. Should be fun.
Should be. Absolutely. Great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate your time. Thanks for giving us a little bit of it today.
Yes, sir. Happy New Year.
You too, bud. There he goes. Nate Davis, NFL at USA Today on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Get you three things on a Monday. Up next, Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
Mana, the meatloaf!
The Fan.
Start the new year off.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Thing or two about the moments in life that matter. You've seized those moments to embrace joy, accomplish great things, and build meaningful relationships. Is it time now to sit back and reflect on a life well lived? Maybe. Or maybe there's more to be done. Maybe this is the most important moment you've encountered yet. By volunteering with AmeriCorps Seniors, you can seize the moment, lend a hand, and get back more than you give. We connect you to local volunteer organizations with opportunities that fit your schedule and match your interests. Through AmeriCorps Seniors, you can support people in times of need and make your community stronger. You can become a companion to your older neighbors, brightening their days with friendship. You can even become a mentor for young people, serving as a role model and enriching their lives. Are you ready to seize your moment? Visit AmeriCorps.gov/your moment and get started today.
When you're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus, all the F words apply. Football, food, and fun, and fat, and furry. They both have beards. And they dress up like animals and hump things. T-Bone and Tyvus.
Weekday mornings at 6.
The Fan.
Statistics show that roughly 20 veterans die by suicide every day in the United States. Canines for Warriors is the leading nonprofit organization providing highly trained service dogs to veterans with PTSD and other invisible wounds of war. Backed by scientific research, Canines for Warriors has transformed the lives of more than 1,000 veterans, helping them reclaim their independence. To find out more, please visit caninesforwarriors.org.
Some journeys start small, with small paws and big purpose.
Look how cute you fly, you sweet girl.
Every great partnership begins with the first step. Guiding them through the world so one day they can guide someone through life. With shared experience, confidence grows and the path becomes clear. It takes time, patience, and love. But the reward lasts a lifetime. You don't just raise a puppy, you raise a future. Become a Dog's Ink Puppy Racer. Give a dog a purpose. Give someone hope.
Learn more at dogsinc.org.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Cosby Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
After putting up with Dom Tabari for a decade, the broadcast gods gave Bo these two. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, Reese, what are you on the poll today?
Daily Fan Poll asks, which number one seed do you have more confidence in making the Super Bowl? The Broncos out of the AFC or the Seahawks out of the NFC? 75% of respondents say the Seahawks.
You remember when we picked games on Thursday, and I don't even remember what I picked. It was such a ridiculous weekend. But I remember I said this specifically. Why is Seattle favored by 1.5 at San Francisco? It makes no sense. And even as I said that, I'm pretty sure I picked San Francisco to cover and win. That's a bad job because when something happens like that, there's a reason for it. Somebody knew something. Now, did they know Trent Williams was going to be out? Did they know? I don't know. But San Francisco was a buzzsaw, beating the brakes off of everybody. The game's at home. At stake is the one seed, a bye, and home field all the way through the Super Bowl. And they lost. And it wasn't particularly close. Somebody knew something. And that's the thing where you have to be careful with all of this.
It was the idea that they could have played for home field advantage throughout the entirety of the NFL postseason that had me. And so you talked me into it. So I'm going to blame you for making me be 8-8 on the final week. I've ended the 2025 season 128-128 picking amazing. Against the spread. Are you kidding me?
Even Steven.
What?
That's incredible job out of you. Unbelievable.
Bo, I just saw this. The Titans have requested the Colts to interview their defensive coordinator, Lou Anarumo. Are they admitting they took the wrong Bengals coordinator?
That's pretty funny. Also very funny that they thought Lou forgot how to coach football somehow and fired him as opposed to Zach. But that's the way it goes. All right, three things on a Monday. Hit it, guys.
One, two,
three things.
All right, number one for me. So it happened. It happened. And by the way, I said this when we did the picks, too. Here, I said this is what's going to happen. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to beat the Carolina Panthers, and I'm going to have to sit through that. And then on Sunday, the Falcons are going to beat the Saints, and I'm going to have to sit through that. At stake was the bet with NBC. Reader's Digest version. In September, we're sitting on the couch, and he says to me, what did you think about this guy skiing down Mount Everest? And I said, dude, nobody skied down Mount Everest. Stop it. And he goes, I'll bet you $500 they did. And I said, fine, you're on. And he pulled it up on Instagram, and it showed, sure enough, that a guy with some sort of apparatus from Red Bull skied down Mount Everest. And he did it. Okay, great. So now I'm thinking, well, I know this kid. Like, there's no question that I can get him to do something that's a double for nothing. Within a week, he goes, the Panthers had dropped to either 1-3 or 1-4. And he goes, the Panthers are winning. They're making the playoffs. They're going to win. They're going to make the playoffs. I said, double or nothing. He goes, you got it. You're on. The Carolina Panthers are in the postseason. He, on the near onside kick that the Saints nearly recovered, he almost lost it. He went nuts as much as you'd think. I didn't say anything. He doesn't understand that the money is not going to go to him in cold, hard cash, but rather I'm going to invest money for him. And it will be his money down the line, but we're going to grow it as opposed to just giving him a bunch of cash. But it went exactly the way that I thought. Unbelievable.
I wish we had video of you guys watching those games together.
It was nuts.
It would be all time.
Yeah, it would have been. And I knew that it would have been. And that's why I did it. No recording of it will ever be seen because one does not exist.
I'm trying to think of like the company that he, the company or product he hates the most, and that's what you put stock into. Like, I don't know if he's a New Balance kid, but that's okay.
They're privately owned, otherwise he would have bought it.
From the corrections department for my first thing, no Jake Diebler show today. It's going to be on Wednesday before Ohio State heads to Oregon Thursday. Tip time for tonight against Nebraska 6:30. Brandon Beam will be in here to gently warm you up at 5:30. Big game for the Buckeyes against the unbeaten, unblemished Cornhuskers.
First thing for me, and we talked a little bit about this earlier, you mentioned it, Bo. Man, if there was ever a time for the Columbus Blue Jackets to get everything going in the right direction here and start a playoff push, it's right now, because this town is for the taking. And the Blue Jackets also, let's lean into weekend afternoon games. I was at both this weekend at Nationwide. Both sellout crowds, both packed, 18,809 in there on Saturday for their game against Buffalo, 18,212 yesterday for the game against the Penguins. Unfortunately, as always, a lot of black and yellow in there, a lot of cheering when Crosby scored that goal in overtime. But let's lean into that. Like, we don't need night games on the weekends. We can have those during the week. Those afternoon games, Nationwide is rocking every time.
I love that. I think that's very, very cool. Good job out of you for bringing that to the attention. Number two for me, NBC had a very good Sunday afternoon. I had a very good Monday morning. There were few things that gave me more joy than awakening them and saying, it's back to school, boys. Hope you enjoyed your 2 weeks. I hope your little trip to California was fun, because guess who's got math at 10 to 8? You dummies. Let's go. It was gorgeous. Loved it. They were completely miserable. That was the only thing that saved the weekend for me.
I forgot to bring this up Friday, but I did the Stranger Things finale Thursday. Thanks to Oregon for shutting out Texas Tech and making that something you could just have on in the background in the fourth quarter. I'm glad it's over. It was a really good ending. I think they landed the plane about as well as they could have, knowing that they extended the whole show maybe one season too long.
Yeah.
But I think they did a good job with it, and I'm glad it's done, though.
Second thing for me, it is hard being a Cleveland Browns fan. It's a lot harder this morning after hearing Jimmy Haslam's comments on why he kept Andrew Berry, and we're going to play some of those for you tomorrow, and I may have a stroke on air listening to them and responding to them, because I'm just so angry at hearing what he said. I wish it wasn't so hard to get rid of your fandom, because I would be in the NFL fan transfer portal this morning if that was the case. But I'm stuck with this team somehow through birth, and I'm not happy about it.
number three for me. One AA national championship game tonight. Montana State, Illinois State. Go, Cats, go. Let's see if we can bring home that first national title since 1984. They're the favorites, I'm sure, but I'm a little leery of this Illinois State team. They've been on quite a run here the last month or so.
I'm looking at the transfer portal now for the Buckeyes, and I see just two players. It's about the number for me, as long as they address the kicker. Ohio State's gone way too long without a kicker that can be automatic from 50. Let's fix that this offseason, please.
And unfortunately, I believe the Illinois kicker...
Don't do that. I know there's bad news.
Sorry. Don't go anywhere. Good news. Rothman and Ice coming up next. They'll have some more NFL talk with Brennan Deeg of The Score at 1:30, and then Jeremy Birmingham hops on at 2:30.
Lots to talk about today on this fine Monday. Keep it locked right here on The Fan all day long. We're back tomorrow. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead. Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.